much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome to Thought for Your Thoughts. I'm your host, Derry Merbles, sitting in for Nina Joplin, who is touring the country performing a spoken word opera about pear-shaped women.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Level test, one, check, check, two. Hot mic, two, you know, ha, 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 ha. Woo, check, one, two. Blah, 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 blah. Check, one, two. Check, check, check. Check, one, two. Check, check, one, two. Hot mic. Check, one, two. Check, one, two. Check, check, check. Check, check, check.
Yeah, that whole speech did nothing for me.
And now.
Okay. What is this place? What are you... What would you like? What does this mean? Let's not do this. Let's not take off our clothes.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know that that's the answer.
Not to?
Right. Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. We're back from vacation.
I am beautiful!
Right?
I
agree.
Fire!
That's the Fire Beer Mug 2013 chant is what that is.
How did that not happen? How are we gone for 2 weeks and that didn't happen? Why do I walk in today and the first thing I see is beer mug?
Who was supposed to do that while you were gone?
Just somebody, anybody. I don't care who gets the job to fire him. Just do it.
It's got to be a department somewhere that fell down on the job.
Right. Look, when there's a fire, Lisa,
yes,
you don't stand around and go, I'm not going to throw water on it. Not my job. You do what needs to be done in an emergency situation. Somebody should have broken the glass and fired beer mug.
You have to break the glass?
Or whatever. However it works. I don't know how it works. But somebody should have done it. It's crazy to me. It's 2013 now.
Hey, beer mug.
Yeah. Stay right here. Thanks.
How's it going? Yeah, he's doing well.
Good comeback, little beer mug. You proved once again that I am wrong in my assessment of your abilities on this program. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good, and they're fine.
Oh, they are?
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, they're another year older, though, so.
Oh, wow.
That's disappointing.
I'm perky.
Negative
B. Yeah.
No, you are perky. All right. Well, I know we have a great deal to discuss, a lot of things on the program today. But let me start with a story like we do. And this one is fascinating to me. This comes out of Topeka, Kansas. Here's a guy who decided to help out a couple of lesbians that he found on Craigslist. I don't know why he was cruising Craigslist for lesbians who were looking for sperm donors, but that's what he ended up deciding to do.
All right.
A couple of ladies. He was 46 years old, I guess, at the time. And Angela Bauer, Jennifer Schrainer were looking to have a child. So he said, I'm in. And the details are not in this article. And, you know, that's my biggest complaint about most articles is there aren't enough details for me. But how does something like this work? And are you allowed to get paid for that?
I don't know. I'm curious about the delivery system.
Yes, I'm also curious about that. And I would love to know how that was done. I mean, you know, I found out, a couple months ago, you're not allowed to pay to give an organ to somebody, for instance. But are you allowed to be paid to give sperm to someone? I don't know what the deal is. Anyway. So they did somehow it happened, and a physician was involved, Kevin, so I don't think it was delivered the old-fashioned way. It doesn't sound like. Well, the couple split up in 2010, but they continue to co-parent the child and the seven other kids that they adopted. These ladies have kids from 3 months old, which means that they obviously have gotten another kid since the one that they got from the sperm donor from Craigslist, all the way up to 25 years old. Well, now they've split up. And one of the moms takes the kid in to get health insurance. And they say, who's the father? And they say, well, the father is a sperm donor, protected. And they say, ooh, sorry, it says here that you did not use a licensed physician to get the sperm. Therefore, you can't get insurance for this kid unless you give us the father. We need a father before you're eligible for state insurance.
That's bizarre.
I've never heard of
that. Now, it sounds like the state is going after the man for child support as the father of the baby that the lesbians had 3 years ago.
Are you kidding me?
Even though he had signed the paperwork, relinquished all parental rights and responsibilities regarding the child at the time of the deal made back in 2009, the state is saying you didn't use a licensed physician, therefore you are the legal father. That's how it works in the great state of Kansas. You're liable for child support for this kid
who's three now, so that means 15 years on the hook for trying to help out a couple of ladies on Craigslist.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it hasn't been settled yet. It's not a done deal yet. There's an administrative hearing happening on January 8th. So later this week, we may find out more about this case. But that's not what you want, right? You're just hoping to, you know, make some baby batter, get $100 in your pocket, and move on with your life.
That's the last you've ever heard of it at that point.
Right. Yeah. You figure it's win-win, right? Ladies get what they need. I get a little something-something, and now I'm on with my life. But this could end up being a bad deal for this man. So if I see more on this, I'll keep you posted. But that's a fine Happy New Year to you, isn't it?
Boy, no kidding. Hey, remember that? Yeah, 15 years.
Pay up, bitch.
15 years. That's a little scary.
It is.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You are a dangerous man espousing dangerous nonsense.
That's correct. On today's program, we're going to kick things off for 2013 with Bean's Death Corner.
Well, how could we not? Come on.
Well, so many people died.
We missed a lot of great deaths over the holiday. And it upset me every single
day.
I'll bet it
drove you crazy when somebody new would die and you go, wow.
I should have started a podcast just for the deaths while I was gone.
You could do a Death Corner podcast
where you just talk
about how much you love when people die. we also have Andy Garcia on the program today.
He's a fine actor.
Really?
Andy Garcia. Yeah.
That's impressive.
An amazing
actor. I was trying to remember, and I know you should never ask questions like this on the air that you don't know the answer
Godfather?
To because you just get into a quagmire, but what was the movie he was nominated for an Academy Award for, Lisa? Do you remember? I know he's been in a ton of great movies over the years, you know, but I can't think of what that one might have been.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Again, huge mistake. Shouldn't have brought it up.
Nope.
Don't know why I did.
Open up a blog.
That's a good point.
We also have Bobby Slayton, comedian Bobby Slayton, the hardest working guy in showbiz, on the program today. He will be here. We also have how long it took you to break your New Year's resolutions. This always cracks us up because everybody is, most people are pretty serious about it when they make a New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not that serious about it, you usually don't make one. But the people who do make one say, all right, this is it. I mean, I mean it. This is, this year, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to fill in the blank.
Right.
And then it's usually within 24 hours that has been scuttled.
You know, and there's some people who have that resolution in their head like 3 months before.
Sure, yeah,
like
right.
Beer mug. And then let's say it's smoking. You just smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke.
Sure.
Right, as much as you can. Or if you're beer mug, you eat and eat and eat and eat. Eat as much as you can.
Beer mug, you didn't do that. You didn't say to yourself, I'm going to lose weight in the new year, did you?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
No.
I haven't started yet, so today I start.
Today I started what?
My resolution. Because I've had
Wait a minute, hold on. Is it part of the New Year's resolution starting on the 1st?
Yes. Yeah, but I figured, you know, I'll coincide it with coming back to work and... Yeah.
All right. Good plan. Good plan.
Why the 3rd? Why not just wait till the Martin Luther King holiday? Why rush into it?
We've never thought of talking to people who have delayed the start of their New Year's resolution because we've never heard of it.
Yeah, the only thing I've heard is, look, don't start it at the New Year's Eve party. If your goal is to not drink, for instance, you don't cut it off at midnight. You give yourself that night, and when you wake up on January 1st, that's when you start the resolution. But not beer mug. I don't know, a couple of weeks in, whenever.
Whenever it gets to it. It is Fishing Thursdays on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've all come to know and love. So we have Wicked Tuna. We have the guys from Wicked Tuna. I don't know if you've seen the promo for that.
I have not.
They sure do fish for tuna.
They do.
Okay.
And those tuna are evil.
Oh, some of those Massachusetts accents, man. I want to throw them in the water myself when I hear them talk. Hope they get eaten by a tuna.
Plus, we have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Good.
So that's all coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat, and that is 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:49.
Ralph Garman joins us in the studio.
Oh, God. What time is it?
How was that?
Sweet Jesus.
That 4 a.m. alarm clock, man. That was like just a jump in a cold lake, wasn't it?
Oh, where am I? What the hell? I just woke up. Who are you people?
Ralph is a guy that we have learned throughout the years who it is not natural to be up at this time.
No,
of day.
Sweet Jesus, no.
And he very quickly resorts back to his normal regimen, which is what, around 10, 11 a.m., Ralph?
I didn't get up any earlier than 8 a.m. anytime during the vacation.
Nice.
At any point.
Yeah.
And that was just my natural body clock. I mean, at the earliest, if I opened one eye and looked at the clock, it would be after 8 a.m.
Because your little girl, she sleeps in a box out in the yard, so it's not like she needs anything before you're up, right?
She is. She's an early riser. She's like her mother. She's around a 6 a.m. kid, but that's what wives are for.
Exactly.
That's the deal when I'm on vacation. It's all on you. And I put the kid down. down, and I spend a lot of time with her during the day. But in the mornings,
put the kid down.
If I put her down to sleep.
Oh, okay. Good.
I tuck her in.
Woo!
But yeah, when I'm on vacation, right, the deal is that I get to sleep because I don't get an opportunity to do that very often.
Don't you get mad when it's like I don't know 7:50 and you look over the clock and go, "Come on!"
Compared to when we usually get up,
yeah, no, but,
is
I know it is
a
but
respite.
You could sleep longer, and
I did. I mean, I was either between 8 and 10,
all
11,
right.
maybe noon, depending.
And how late did that feel?
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because I'm a nighttime guy. I'd like to stay up late and watch old television and movies and stuff and be on the computer. So midnight was usually bedtime for me, you know?
Sure.
And this morning just blew on every possible
It really
level.
Did.
And I'm really feeling poorly right now.
All right.
And I realized that this cranky attitude that I'm accused of having throughout my years here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I think we could remove the word accused.
Is largely due to the fact I just hate being awake right now.
Well, you have the perfect job for it.
I really do. This was an excellent, excellent career choice for me, and I'm glad to have taken it.
Well, I don't know how we're going to start wading through all the showbiz news that has transpired since we were last on live. But
no, we're not.
Let's
screw
give
that.
It a try.
You people have Google, right? Look it up. It's a new year. It's all new news. We're not talking about last year. We're talking about right now. What's going on?
All right.
And I was shocked, personally, when I read this first story I thought Kevin was visiting relatives in Pennsylvania.
That's why? What are you talking about?
The news story. You didn't hear about the news story about the driver who was discovered at 5 a.m. on New Year's Day?
No.
Driving at high speeds on a Pennsylvania interstate for 18 miles in the wrong direction?
No.
Oh, man. 18 miles.
I didn't know Kevin had family in Pennsylvania.
How
What's
dare
he doing
you,
there?
Sir.
He should have told me. I could have hooked him up with some fun places to go.
How dare
Turns
you?
Turns out it was a 22-year old woman who was arrested after the police eventually got her to stop after resorting to roadblocks because she wouldn't pay attention to the flashing lights or the spotlights in her face.
Wow.
And she was arrested on the suspicion of DUI. Fascinating.
I certainly hope it's DUI. Otherwise, it's a much bigger problem.
Yeah, it's legal blindness.
If it's New Year's Day and it's 5 a.m. and you're doing that, odds are, right?
I was very disappointed by the lack of drunk tweeting from our man Kevin over the holiday, by the way.
Kevin just disappeared. Kevin was a ghost. Kevin was ghost protocol. He just went away, and no one heard from him, and no one knew what he was up to, and we didn't
but
know
I
if he was alive.
He was up to plenty.
I thought there'd be a rave in Vegas or something where he would, you know, he'd get those big fingers of his going, and we would all enjoy that. But there was nothing. It was just,
I think Linus, his manservant, has taken to now confiscating his phone before he goes into the raves to keep that from happening.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
You are not as good as Leonardo DiCaprio. No matter who you are, whoever is listening to the show right now, he knows how to celebrate the new year. He spent it on a yacht in Australia's Sydney Harbour.
No kidding.
Oh, that'd be
Threw
cool.
himself a little party on a yacht in Sydney Harbour. Such friends were on the guest list as Jamie Foxx, Kevin Connolly. Kevin Connolly?
What?
The hell did he get on
no
the
kidding.
List? Jonah Hill, his newest smoking hot girlfriend, Margot Robbie. She was there. And then, you know, the party started to dwindle down around 1 a.m. there in Sydney Harbour. So, like you do, Leonardo DiCaprio rounded up all his friends, and they hopped on his private jet and went to Vegas from Australia
wow.
to continue partying.
Wow.
Popping the cork all over again in Australia, in
Vegas.
Vegas.
Wow.
So they had two New Year's, basically. They 1 a.m., they leave Australia, and I guess they went fast enough that they got to Vegas by the time for the New Year's Eve celebration there and continued to party.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And Kevin was there, too, as you can tell by his ability to speak. Jennifer Lawrence is in the news. She said, and this is pretty cool, that she once tried to protect her home from intruders using her trusty bow and arrow from The Hunger Games.
Really?
That she kept after shooting that, and she had it in the house, and she heard someone in the house, and so she got out the bow and arrow and went prowling.
I think if I saw her with the bow and arrow, I would think she probably learned enough to know how to use it.
I'm sure she does and did. She did not shoot. It turned out it was some people there who were there to do work on her house that she had forgotten she had scheduled the appointment for.
Whoa, mowing the lawn. Hey, take it easy.
Imagine the carpenter catches a shaft right through the throat for trying to put up some new shelves. That would be a bad bonus. Although, if Jennifer Lawrence kills you with the bow and arrow from Hunger Games. What cooler way is there to go than
is
that?
Is there a better way to go?
I don't think
none.
So.
None.
That would be the greatest story at your funeral ever. You know how Bob went, don't you? Yeah. That girl from the Hunger Games shot him with the bow and arrow. Yeah. He wasn't even carrying the Mockingjay or whatever it was that they do in that movie that people care about.
I don't think they carry it.
I don't know what happens.
They eat it, I think, don't they?
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, of course, the big story over the New Year weekend was that she, in fact, is carrying the spawn of Kanye West.
No!
Or as a friend tweeted me when he heard the news, it's yeast meets West.
Hey!
I got actually depressed when I heard the news, Ralph, because of the business that we're in.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be hearing about this child.
Oh, yeah.
Probably every day for at least a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
This is going to be the focus of the entertainment world is yes. on this baby. They're already talking about what contracts the kid is going to get, who's going to represent it, what TV shows it's going to be on, what endorsements it's going to... I mean, it just... I don't know if I can handle it.
The kid's new single drops next week. I know
is that
much,
right?
Yeah. And Barbara Walters is going in utero for an in-depth interview, apparently, at the end of the month. So she's literally going to climb inside the uterus and do a one-on-one
We should have a pool whether he's going to name him after himself, which you know probably pretty good odds. He's going to name the baby
if
Kanye.
If it's a girl,
it doesn't matter.
It'll be Kimye, I guarantee
it could
you.
Because
that's sort of their media tag.
Kimye?
That's their couple's name is Kimye. Which even their family calls them that, which is just repugnant to me. All the other K-named people who were tweeting over the weekend, ooh, the Kimye baby. Who's excited about the Kimye baby? Shut up, people.
People are asking, and I think this is an interesting question, as to whether the baby will be born before Kim Kardashian is divorced or not.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, it's funny that as of right now, she's been pregnant longer than she was married to Chris Humphries. With 12 weeks. At 12 weeks, she's pregnant, which makes she's had a relationship with this baby longer than she had one with her current husband, Chris Humphries.
What's happening with that? Is he still just
dragging his feet.
All right,
yeah,
good.
Which makes me endlessly happy that she is married to one man, banging another one. She's knocked up. If they didn't have money, they would live in a trailer. I'm telling you, I've always said that about the Kardashians.
That's true.
The way they live their lives, they are just garbage. And now, like other garbage, they are procreating more garbage. So.
Yeah.
And you know what else is? I love Kanye West. I mean, he's one of the greatest musical artists working today. He is one of my very favorites. I don't care a bit who he's dating or if he has one kid or 80 kids. That doesn't interest me at all. And Kim Kardashian offers nothing to me unless she's naked. That's the only way I'm interested in her. So you put the two of them together in this kid. It's just I couldn't care less about what goes on with this child. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't share your love for him and his music. But did you see him in concert in Atlantic City when he announced it on stage that she was pregnant?
No.
Yeah, that's how he broke the news. He was doing a concert on the 30th of December in Atlantic City, and their video was online. And, boy, does he just abuse the privilege to be auto-tuned. But when he's singing live, holy crap. It's like, hold on a second. Hold on. Turn down the music. That's my baby mama right there. Okay. I now return you to your previously scheduled auto-tune and static. He went back to the song. He's like, wow, who's sitting there listening to that? Anyway, the reason I bring this story up is because Kanye and Kim are not the only people who will be making money off of this pregnancy.
How can more people?
Well, of course, you got the momager. She's going to get her cut, right? But someone not even the family is benefiting. Her ex-boyfriend, Ray J. Apparently, sales of the sex tape since the announcement of the pregnancy have skyrocketed a whopping 80% since she announced her pregnancy. So that's good news for Ray J. And that means the residual checks will be rolling in with a tremendous spike in purchasing of the Kim Kardashian Ray J sex tape. So Ray J gets a little something something for his effort, for the fact that she got knocked up. Apparently, a lot of people want to see exactly where the baby will be coming out of. Or what process led to that pregnancy. So they're doing their investigations by renting that video and buying it. So good news for Ray J. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Today, of course, Thursday, January the 3rd. Record producer George Martin, legendary producer of the Beatles for their entire career, 87 years old today.
Wow.
You got to give that guy credit for everything that the Beatles are. Without George Martin, there are those who would say they wouldn't have been nearly as successful as they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He had some vision.
In terms of constantly reinventing themselves and innovating and adding stuff. I mean, they were just a garage band, basically, and he added the production values, and he would talk them into using strings and horns and all kinds of instruments throughout their illustrious career. So, 87 years old today. Actor Robert Loggia is 83 years old. Actor Dabney Coleman, so good on Boardwalk Empire, 81 years old today. Hockey Hall of Famer Bobby Hull is 74. Remember hockey? Mm-mm. That was a good sport.
Mm-mm. What was that?
They used to play it on ice, and it was
like soccer?
Yeah, only good. Singer Stephen Stills, legendary 60s icon, 68 years old today. John Paul Jones, bassist of Led Zeppelin, is 67. Mel Gibson turns 57 years old today. Actress and author Danica McKellar from The Wonder Years. She loves math. Just ask her. She's 38 years old. New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning celebrates his 32nd birthday today as he enjoys his vacation.
And, Happy New Year, Eli.
Drummer Mark Pontius from Foster the People celebrates 28 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 6 o'clock.
We are live. This is a new show. I can prove it. President of the United States is Mitt Romney. That happened.
Nice. Oh, this tape is showing that we faked it.
Hey, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show for a brand new year for 2013. It is the 3rd of January. Lisa May, you went to a fascinating place over the holiday.
I did. I went to Belize.
Oh, wow.
Which is,
and that's like a country in junk?
It's a country. It's next door to Guatemala, and most of it is jungle. But there are beautiful islands just off the coast of Belize, and that's where a lot of the resorts are, and that's where I stayed. But I did go to this cave that is right on the border with Guatemala. Mm-hmm. It's they call it a living museum, and inside the cave are
drug dealers?
are skeletons that are 1,000 years old that they were sacrificed by the Mayans. People
wow.
that were sacrificed by the Mayans.
That's the Mayans, by the way, in their stupid calendar, but go ahead.
And they decided instead of taking all of the pottery and the skulls and these two skeletons out, they would leave them in there and allow people to go in. But the way that you do it, it was insane. We had to take a boat to San Pedro, which is how you travel from these little islands. Then we had to take a small plane to the border of Guatemala.
Right.
Then we had to take a 7-mile ride in a little van on this dirt road that was insane.
Dude.
Then we had to hike through the jungle about an hour.
So you're then, Indiana Jones at this point.
Yes. And then we went into this cave, and the first thing we had to do was jump into the water to swim through the first cavern.
What?
It
are
was,
you positive you weren't being set up to be killed?
I know. You go, what are we doing? Like,
do you
the
find
plane
out,
could have crashed.
Do you find out after the fact that you've actually just competed on a new season of Survivor? it sounds like it.
It was just like, we're nuts. And they would never let you do this in the United States.
Of course not.
Ever. I mean, we had helmets with lights, and we had a guide. There were like 8 of us. And right there, that cave is 3 miles deep, and we only went through the first mile. But you go in and out of the water. You're climbing on rocks. They're like, don't touch that side because that's where all these beautiful minerals are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're trying to preserve it. Watch that rock under the water. You could slice your leg open. Don't slip over there. It's insane.
But at any point did you think, I'll just wait over here? You guys tell me about those bones.
I couldn't believe we did it. The bones were so cool, but that wasn't even the coolest part. It's like sometimes we'd all turn off our lights and then the guide would flash his light onto the sides of the cave. It was stunning. The minerals and everything glowed, and it was amazing.
I would never have known something like that existed. And then real quick, on the way back, I understand you sat next to a friend of the show.
Ben McKenzie.
How about
Southland.
That? Really?
Yes.
Did you chat him up?
I chatted him up a little bit, and then I started reading a book because I didn't want him to think I was going to bug him the
sure.
whole way home.
Yeah.
But he did bend over to get something, and I saw his butt crack.
Right.
Good time.
And?
Nice. It's okay. A nice butt,
nice
crack.
Butt
he was
crack.
So nice.
Good
and
update.
Somebody came up to him and asked him to sign something at the end of the flight, and he was so nice about it. He's just the nicest guy
He's
in
a great
the world.
Dude. He's great. I can't wait for Southland to come.
Yeah,
oh, good.
Me too.
I love that dude.
Air Marshal. I'm sure he's an Air Marshal.
Yeah, of course.
So
I didn't have anywhere near as exciting a vacation. I stayed fairly local, but I will tell you that if you guys can get the norovirus, you ought to get it.
Oh,
you ought to go
no.
for it.
What's that?
What's the norovirus?
The norovirus is the hot thing that's going around. It's all over the the world right now. Very big in Japan. Over a million people have it in England right now, or have had it throughout this season. It's basically it's a flu. It may be what Ralph had a few weeks ago. Remember when Ralph told us he had everything coming out of everywhere?
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
I know, like three or four people that what they were calling the stomach flu, but it was like that, like everything everywhere.
Yes, that's what it is.
Good for you.
It's the norovirus. It is highly contagious. It's a virus that lives on soft surfaces like, pillows or clothes or something like that for up to 12 days.
Sweet.
So, as you can imagine, if you come in contact with something that someone who has had it in the last 2 weeks comes in contact with, then you could get it. So it's very contagious. And I'm telling you that it's a barrel of monkeys, man. There's nothing more fun.
How long did you have that?
Couple of days of just, losing that pesky last 20 pounds I've been trying to lose, I'll tell you that.
Oh, God.
It's insane. So get that. That's my advice to you for New Year's, man. If you want to, Beer Mug, you want to jumpstart that last 35 pounds you're trying to lose? Get yourself some norovirus.
Give me some of that.
Yeah, kiss somebody on the mouth, man. Good luck to you.
Send him your pillowcase.
And Kevin, you're the one I've been dying to hear from because, as Ralph mentioned a few minutes ago, you are mysterious.
What?
When vacation comes around, you unplug to the point of I wonder if you're like CIA or something.
Well, I mean, life happens if it's not on Twitter.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No, I get that. But, email. I mean, there are other ways that people stay in touch.
I don't check my email.
Even if they're on vacation. But what happened to you? Where'd you end up?
I ended up – I had a great vacation. I ended up going to Phoenix to visit the family and stuff. I also ended up someplace I thought I would never be, which is at a Los Angeles Clippers game.
And
they weren't playing the Lakers.
Okay, now let me pause right there and say, because we've got some ground to catch up on, the Clippers have become the hottest team in basketball.
Yes.
They finally broke their streak the other night. Lisa, do you know that they won 16 games in a row? Was it 16, Kevin, or 17?
I don't know.
16, right? I think it was 16 in a row before they lost to Denver a couple nights ago. And at one point, a few days ago, had the best record in the NBA. Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
They've sold out like 60 games in a row. I saw Bieber there the other night and a bunch of other people. What night did you go?
I don't
Who were they playing?
Remember, they were playing another team.
Okay. All right. There's our man.
I don't remember.
At the game.
Well, here's the thing. I was at the game because a friend of mine runs Loan Mart. And they're one of the sponsors of the Clippers. And they let him shoot the three-pointers for charity.
Okay.
So he picked our charity as the charity that he was going to shoot for.
Oh, great.
So, Dave, the King of Mexico, has been trying to get me to go to a Clipper game forever, but I'm a Laker fan. So I don't have any interest in going to see the Clippers unless they're playing the Lakers like they are tomorrow night. So then I ended up at the Clipper game, which Dave's going to be upset about because he really, like, every game he's like, we should go to the Clipper game. No thanks. So I went, and before the game, we had a free throw contest. And the free throw contest was for a basketball that was signed by all of the Clippers.
Wow.
And I thought, I could auction this off for our charity. That would really be great.
Mm-hmm. Or give it to Dave because he's a great friend and a great Clipper fan.
Never entered my mind.
So,
because we were there for the charity. So everybody had to shoot, and my wife was very upset by that because she never played basketball. And I was like, oh, no, you gotta shoot. And everybody started, harassing her.
Yeah.
And you go down there before the game, and there's, it's not full. There's probably, out of 18,000 people, there's probably 4,000 or 5,000 people there.
Because
this is early.
Amount,
this is early
it's
before
early.
The. Okay.
So other people get up and shoot, and I'm like, oh, you got to do it. You got to do it. I know she's just dreading it. She doesn't have a chance in a million years of making it back. So she gets up there and she takes the ball and she shoots an air ball. It does touch the net, but she shoots an air ball. And I start booing. on the court,
your own wife
on the court. I was like, "Boo!" Because to be funny. So then I stepped up. Now I played high school basketball. I averaged 26 points a game. I remember when I was a kid shooting free throws 100 at a time.
Did you play it like you played baseball?
No,
okay.
No. I was actually good in basketball. Made all state, and I was good.
Oh,
so
right.
I had pretty decent confidence.
You had all state, is what you mean?
That's what I meant. Yeah. So then I was thinking to myself, this would be cool for the charity. So this is not going to be a problem because these are other people who don't necessarily play basketball. So I have an advantage.
Sure.
So I stepped up right after my wife and airballed it worse than her. Didn't even touch the net.
Why am I not surprised?
Kidding. God damn it.
And I just thought, hey, but I've made in my lifetime 5,000 of these.
And I bet there are times where you've just been, you know, playing out in the yard or something like that where you've sucked like 15 in a row, you know?
Yeah, I used to shoot 90 to 94 out of 100 because I would stay there until I did.
Wow.
But this particular time, and so then my wife was, boom!
Yes.
As she should.
Because, and then I walked off with my head hung low.
Were you impressed watching the Clippers play?
I am a Laker fan.
Right.
Yes.
Having said that, though, you're a grown adult who can appreciate other things that are good.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes and yes.
It's a bold move for Kevin to admit that.
I'm not going to become a Clipper fan, but it was impressive.
Yeah.
You know, you got Chris Paul and you got, you know, all those other guys.
And by the way, they're not running away with it with this huge win streak. The Lakers have suddenly gotten hot, too. I think they've won like 5 out of the last 6 or something like that. So it's definitely going to be, you know, it's definitely gonna be a horse race for the division.
I think the Lakers are still under 500, though. So congratulations to them for being able to accomplish that, with such a great roster. But, yeah, it was fun and it was exciting. And they play. It's really it's good to have another team in town that actually plays good basketball.
And will you ever go with Dave?
Oh, no.
He's, of course not.
No, because he's obnoxious Clipper fan.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have time for that. So well, air ball.
It's good to have you back on the grid.
It's good to be
back.
It's my jam. Who's with me? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin DeBean Show. We are back from vacation. It is 23 minutes after 6.
By the way, Kevin, your first guess was correct. It was The Godfather 3 that Andy Garcia was nominated for an Academy Award for. So
Kevin.
Check you out.
He knows his Godfather.
New year, new Kevin.
He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes here on The Kevin DeBean Show talking about his new film out now called A Dark Truth. That's on the way here on The Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, it's Thursday morning. Time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Here's the trend that the through line I'm starting to notice here is if you get involved in a conversation with your friends where they bet you how many of a thing you can eat, maybe just say no.
Oh, that's pretty hard to turn down.
We saw that that story, that poor lady in Fresno, I think it was, a couple years ago, remember, who tried to drink all that water in a contest.
Right.
And then we had that guy down in Florida who just ate all the roaches, and then he died. Well, here's another one. Here's a 20-year-old Tunisian man. His name was Dal Fanazi. He died after a friend bet him he couldn't eat 30 raw eggs.
I would think that would be doable.
Well, he ate 28 of them. And then he started to hurt too much, felt pains in his stomach, and collapsed. They took him to the hospital to receive medical attention, but he died on the way.
Wow.
Now, we may ask Dr. Drew this when we talk to him later, but what about eating 28 raw eggs would kill you, I think? Does that seem like he had something else going on? Or?
Yeah.
Well, I know that eating raw eggs, salmonella is a problem, but that's not going to kill you that fast.
Shouldn't work that fast, yeah.
No.
I saw Rocky do it. Seem fine.
That's right.
20 years old, though, and that's, I mean, you were talking earlier about what's a good story to have when, you know, you want to get killed by, you know, Katniss with a bow and arrow.
Sure.
You don't want to die from eating raw eggs.
No.
That's not the way to go.
Here's
a guy, 41 years old in Fort Worth, Texas. We had a story similar to this in Los Angeles at the end of last year. Remember the guy who was sleeping in a garbage bin that was then picked up by a trash compactor, but he got out alive? Remember the guy we talked about?
Sure.
Didn't work out this way for this guy. In fact, he was sleeping in a dumpster. Trash compactor picked it up just this past Wednesday morning. They started to compact it. He started screaming. This time the driver heard him, stopped the compacting. They went out, pulled the guy out, took him to the hospital. He later died. So
don't sleep
in a dumpster. That's not how you want to go at all. Here's another update on a lady that we've talked about previously on this program. She was in the news last year for an article that she did, an interview with the Tampa Bay Times down in Florida. She's one of these women, Lisa, who has that rare disorder where you orgasm all the time.
Poor baby.
And we talked about how, that's hilarious and sounds like super big fun on the surface. Not so much. She committed suicide.
Oh!
Really?
She has persistent genital arousal disorder, a debilitating condition marked by continuous sexual arousal. Women who have the disorder are physically but not psychologically aroused. Many must masturbate for hours for just a few minutes of relief. Some doctors say the condition is caused by a nerve malfunction. It seems like you can make just a ton of money on a webcam, though. I mean, if that's how you spend every day all day, it seems like you'd be rich but miserable, right? She struggled with the disorder for 16 years, by the way. For the first 10 years, she didn't know what she had, and she never told anyone.
What?
For 10 years. How do you live like that?
How do you describe it, though? No kidding. That's just, it would feel so bizarre. Like, and I'm turned on all the time.
Yeah.
Made it very difficult for her to have a job or anything like that. She had recently gone to the courts, by the way, to try to get disability because she was having so much trouble working. And she was recently turned down by a judge for disability payments. And it is thought that that is what led her to commit suicide because she just thought, look, I can't work. I can't live like this. I can't make any money.
Yeah.
It must have seemed like a terribly hopeless thing.
But on the list of ways you do want to go, death by orgasm.
Death by orgasm, yeah. Here's one on a little lighter note, and this is actually kind of sad. A 46-year-old father of three in Britain died over the holidays. What do you think he was doing at the holiday party that killed him? He was dancing to Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
It's believed that he had a heart attack. Here's the quote from a coworker. We were having a fantastic time at the Christmas party. The man had just finished dancing to the Psy hit. He was up on stage entertaining everyone. Then he had a bit of pain, and he just collapsed. Apparently, doctors in Britain are warning men to, quote, be measured at Christmas parties and not to stray outside your comfort zone.
Wow.
You don't want to die dancing to the Gangnam Style.
No.
That's
not how you
want to
go.
Death by orgasm, I think, leads so far.
This same article, by the way, mentions another man in Britain, 48 years old, who died a couple of years ago during a dance-off in a parking lot, which is not, you know, if you say, let's take this out in the parking lot and I'll show you, you don't want to then die.
No.
Here's a bizarre death corner story that isn't so much bizarre because of the person who died or why. It's what happened afterward. Edith Casas is her name. She's in Argentina. She is engaged to the man who's in prison for killing her twin sister.
Oh, that's all kinds of effed up.
Really?
He is serving a 13-year sentence for the murder of her twin sister. She claims that he is completely innocent. She believes it with all her heart, and now she wants to marry him. The mother has petitioned the court saying that clearly her daughter is psychologically ill. So far, the court is not allowing it until a hearing happens. Look, I don't care how much you think the guy is innocent.
Right.
I just think for the sake of the rest of the family, maybe, you find the other people in the world who haven't been accused or have sent to prison for killing your sister, doesn't it just seem like that's like
the last 7 billion other people
yeah. who haven't killed your sister? It just seems like that's the last person in the world who ought to be on your potential date list.
But let's be honest, if she's doing that, her family is not talking to her anymore.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, when I saw the headline, I swear to God, I thought there's a good chance this could be Beer Mug. All of our prayers could be answered. A Los Angeles man killed on New Year's Day after a refrigerator fell on him while he was trying to grab a beer, according to Los Angeles County Coroner's Office. Doesn't this 1,000% sounds like how Beer Mug's going to go?
Yep, yep, yep.
4 o'clock on Tuesday, 1300 block of 76th Street, downtown L.A., the man was getting the drink from a fridge in his garage when it tipped over on him, crushed him, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. That is the way to go.
Wow.
Come on, Beer Mug. Listen up, man. It's not that hard. Do it. It's an all-new Beans Death Corner.
Yeah! That's hot!
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38.
Our friend Bobby Slayton, the pit bull of comedy, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who, by the way, got stuck in a snowbank in Montana over the holidays. Did you see that, Kevin?
No,
you hear about
I did
that?
Not, no.
Talk to him about what the hell he's doing with his life coming up. And we got the some of the fishermen from Wicked Tuna out there in the great Northeast off of Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. It's Fishing Thursday.
They go out and catch $10,000 fish. Some of those tuna they bring in, they get $10,000 for selling a fish.
Wow, I had no idea.
It's a crazy, crazy way to make a living. First, though, very excited to welcome back to the program. It's been a long time since we talked to the great Andy Garcia, who joins us on the phone with a new film that is called A Dark Truth, which, by the way, this is going to shock you, Kevin, I've seen.
What?
Mr. Garcia, I've seen your movie.
Well, thank you very much. So am I.
It's called A Dark Truth, and it's I wanted to ask you right off the bat, because it's available in theaters starting tomorrow, but it's also on demand, and I saw it on the HD net. What's the deal? What's the platform program here for this film? You just put it out there for everybody everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of films that are being released this way. It's sort of been going on for a couple of years at least, I would say. And, you know, the whole how people are serviced with entertainment these days is changing constantly, you know.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of distribution plans that are out there that work to sort of what they call day and date type of releasing, where they have a window, an on-demand window before the theatrical release, and then it comes off of on-demand while it's on in the theaters, and then I guess it goes back on later on.
Well, but I think it's fantastic.
I wouldn't even say it's an experiment anymore. It's an alternative way of distribution.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, and I'll tell you this, and I mean this as a compliment. This is no way backhanded. I mean, for a movie that comes out in January, where we are met, you know, the expectations we have as a moviegoer is the stuff that releases in January is the stuff they're just trying to get rid of. This movie is really, really good. You should be very proud of it. Man, you got a great cast, and I think people should definitely check it out.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was a very interesting, it was very stimulating, you know, the little conceptual what was going on with this particular character and his journey in his life, what had brought him to this point in his life. And I was very fortunate to get the support of people that I admire, Forrest Whitaker and Eva Longoria. So,
sure. Forrest Whitaker has got to be the actor's actor, isn't he?
He's such a genial actor, but he's also such a unique, warm-hearted and lovable individual. You know, we've done a couple of movies together now, and I really enjoy not only obviously working with him, but I enjoy his company very much.
Andy, I'm a big fan of yours, and it doesn't seem like you work enough for me. You get like the flavor of the month, and they make 17 movies a year. And what about this particular movie got your attention enough that you wanted to do it?
Well, you know, the journey of this character, you were introduced with him as a radio talk show host, and he sort of called the truth. The show is called The Truth, and he's tried to sort of be a bit of a whistleblower, sort of bring attention to things that are trying to right the wrong. But it's all in an effort to sort of make amends for the things he's done in his life. You're introduced with the concept that he says to one of the callers that he's done things that are unforgettable and unforgivable. And he's an ex-CIA agent, and he worked in South America for many years. And he's presented with this someone who wants to hire him to get back into that sort of line of work in order to bring Forrest Whitaker out of South America, because he's got sort of the information on what's going on there regarding this water exploitation down in South America, and people are getting killed and so forth. And basically, the journey of this character, who basically has to become the person that he detests again in order to save someone and get this information out. I thought that, to me, was a very interesting and challenging thing for me as an actor. You know?
And not only that, you get to run around in a jungle like a little kid and just shoot at everything.
Yeah, I think the head count was about 27.
All right. Yeah, Kevin, you're going to love this. Andy Garcia's character in the movie A Dark Truth here on the Kevin DeBeat Show is a great shot. And I'm telling you what, he just shoots and kills everything. He's very much a shoot first, ask questions later guy. That's what I want my action heroes, Andy.
Well, you know, he knows once he decides, you know, in a backstory, he was responsible for putting Forrest in jail for many years. And then he realized that that was the wrong thing to do, that this guy is, Aniko, he's responsible for a peasant movement, and he's a very worthy individual, and he basically is going to go out to try to make amends and save him, you know. But he knows once he makes that decision, he has to strap on, metaphorically, the gun belt again, you know.
Right. We have
it has the classic, unforgiven quality to it, you know, that's in this genre, you know.
You play a bad guy pretty well, Andy.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not sure what kind of compliment that is, but you do that really well. I do have
someone has to play them, you know.
I do have a clip of you, your character, talking to Forrest Whitaker and Eva Longoria's characters, and trying to convince them to come with you.
My wife, she doesn't trust you.
I know.
She thinks that our family won't be safe.
Is your family safe here? How long can they live like this?
How long can anyone live? The answer is always the same until we die.
Come with me. We will stop Clearback from doing what they did here in other countries.
How do you know they listen to us?
You have to trust me. Francisco, you must trust me. You must trust me.
All right, all right.
I like, in our final moments here with Mr. Garcia, I like that you are a talk show host who has the mellowest delivery in the history of radio.
Well, I, you know, part of my research, I was listening to you guys.
Yeah, you know us so well.
If you were listening to us, you would have screwed up a lot more.
if you've seen the holiday blockbusters, you're looking for something new and fresh in theaters, it's available in theaters tomorrow, Friday, January 3rd. You can also look for it on demand. And again, I saw it last night on the HDNet, which is a great great channel now, too. Dark Truth is the name of the film. Andy Garcia, thank you so much for joining us. Happy New Year
to you,
my friend.
Guys, Happy New Year to all of you.
Thank you. Bye. Auto 6.7.
Glad to hear Peter Frampton's working again.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
First Peter Frampton reference, not just on this show, but maybe in the world in 2013.
Even Peter Frampton's family hasn't mentioned his name yet.
Probably the only one in 2013 ever.
So congratulations, Ralph Garman, who is in now on the Kevin and Bean Show with another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
I got a couple of few. I'm surfing through my emails. You know, we leave the show here, and I don't check my work email box.
Right.
When I'm on vacation. So I've got 2 weeks. I've got like a couple thousand emails.
So you hit Control All,
Control
delete. Delete.
Yeah. But I skim through them to see if there's anything that pops that I want to look at before I delete stuff. And one of them says, oh, big talker, regarding me, you said that you got Bean this amazing Christmas gift, blah, 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 greatest gift ever, no one else could get it for him, blah, 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 and then we don't hear anything about it.
You said it was a unique gift.
Your gift was a bust, is what this guy said.
Nobody else could give him, and it was the greatest gift that he could ever get.
That's right.
All right.
So since we're doing a little holiday recap.
Update.
Bean, would you like to tell the class what I got you for Christmas?
I don't want to say it was the greatest gift ever, but I may put in my will that I be buried with it, because I don't want to be without it even after I die.
What?
Ralph got me, from the television show, as seen on TV, a Hawaii Five-O police badge, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Screen-used Hawaii Five-O cop badge.
For those of you that don't know, Hawaii Five-O was a series in the 60s?
In the 2013s. It's currently
That's right.
The air now.
Oh, this new one, TV series? No, not from this one, from the original.
Yeah. Okay, I'm talking about the original.
From people have heard of Hawaii Five-O. It's not like we're dredging up something no one's ever heard of. It's a current hit show. A previous incarnation of the show ran for 12 years from 68 to 80, and it's maybe one of my two or three favorite shows of all time. I had a dog named Cam Fong as Chin Ho.
Exactly.
From the credits of the Hawaii Five-O show. That's how much I love that program. Yeah. Book 'em Dano. And I squealed like a little girl when I opened up the package, Ralph. I couldn't love it anymore.
Does that ruin it for you, Ralph?
No, that's the reaction I wanted.
He squealed like a little girl,
That's what I wanted. Screen-used badge from the pilot episode.
Wow.
Of Hawaii Five-O.
State of Hawaii Investigator 5-0 Unit. I'm holding it in my hand right now, of my hands, and then in the other hand, you know. But
how many times do you use it this holiday?
I'm going to wear this to all Kevin and Bean events from now on. So I'll be the guy with the badge.
Book
there you
him,
go.
Bino. That's
there
what I'm going to say. Every time I see him. Book him, Bino.
So I'd be flashing that badge everywhere I went. I'd be going, hey, everybody. Hey, look at me. I'm a cop. Oh, sit down.
It's 2013. Got our first moment with Kevin.
Oh, come on. That doesn't hardly reaches the quality of my normal moments.
Well, the listener who was calling you out
just
got served.
Boom. Boom, I say.
You did say boom.
Boom!
I heard you.
I said it a third time.
I heard you.
Boom! All right, let's talk about show business news. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, of course, have mingled their DNA and now are creating a hideous creature that will roam the earth and spell the end of mankind. But one person who's happy about the announcement of Kim Kardashian's baby with Kanye is her ex-boyfriend, Ray J. TMZ.com is reporting that the sales of the Kim Kardashian-Ray J sex tape since the announcement of the pregnancy have gone up 80%.
Wow.
That means Ray J gets some residual checks. coming in. Imagine getting residual checks for a banging video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel good about yourself when you open up that check from your mailbox? Oh, a couple grand I can put in the mail. Yeah, but it was for me banging my girlfriend on a video.
He's probably good for still Ray getting day. Residual scabs, too, by the way, Ralph.
Residual blisters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the residual scabs last night.
True. It's just 2013, but Brooke Mueller, ex-wife of Charlie Sheen, has already made herself a cool $250,000. She just settled her lawsuit against the Canyons, which is a rehab center for drug and alcohol rehabilitation, after an employee allegedly leaked private information about her stay there during her stay. Insiders are speculating she got a settlement for around $250,000.
Wow.
I hope she took it in a gift certificate, because she will need to go back there sometime soon. So it might save her the cost of additional rehab if she actually just applies that towards her bill. Britney Spears is in trouble. Looks like she's about to be fired from the X Factor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Us Weekly's reporting that the producers are just miserable having her as one of the judges on that show.
Really?
Well, think about it from their point of view. They paid her $15 million to say amazing every week.
Yeah.
That's all she pretty much does.
Well, that and...
You're amazing! And she laughs like that. Yeah. Glad to know that survived into 2013.
Of course.
That's all she does. They sing and she goes, you are amazing. And then that's all she does. And Simon Cowell was hoping to get some crazy Britney.
Of course.
Some pop for his dollar. And he's been wildly disappointed with her performance. So she may be booted off the show.
Ralph, in the on the topic of singing television shows, and I know Kevin is going to hate this, but I have to ask, what's your level of interest in checking out the new AI in a couple weeks?
I will tune in to hopefully see some animosity between Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj. I'm hoping some of that stuff we've seen on the internet of them sniping at each other shows up on my TV screen.
No way.
That's the loudest.
That was pretty loud. Bringing that down a little.
I would enjoy seeing those two go at each other. That'd be fun.
I want to check it out, too, because, you know, we were hoping for excitement, as you mentioned, with the judges on The X Factor.
Yeah.
It just never happened with Demi Lovato or with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
You
guys are getting to singing show overload yet?
Oh, yes, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
The only reason I would tune in was just to see these two girls bitch at each other. So.
Yeah, I don't need any more singing stars. I'm looking for entertainment at this point.
Joel McHale did his countdown on The Soup, and he had on Phil Phillips.
Current American Idol winner.
Won last year?
Current American Idol winner, yeah. And the whole thing was he came out and said, who are you? He's like, I just won season 14 of American. He's like, wait a minute. Season 14's over? Yeah. Well, if it's over, who won? I did. I'm the winner of American Idol. They were sort of spoofing on the fact that no one really cares anymore who wins American Idol, which I think is true. And I hate to take glee, unlike Bean, in other people's deaths, but there is sort of a poetic justice to this. Did you hear about the paparazzo?
Yeah.
Who was killed while trying to snap pictures of Justin Bieber's Ferrari? This guy's name was Chris Guerra, and he was following Justin Bieber around all day long. While Justin drove around in his Ferrari, he had his girlfriend Selena Gomez with him, and they pulled into a hotel, and this Ferrari takes off. And so the photographer thinks that Justin's behind the wheel, and he had told his friend, another photographer, that he swore he saw Justin Bieber smoking pot behind the wheel of this car, and he was going to bust him and catch him. So he's following the car when it gets pulled over on the 405 for speeding. So this photographer parks his car and stands on the railing and starts shooting pictures through a chain link fence of the Ferrari. It wasn't even Justin behind the wheel, by the way. It was rapper Lil Twist who was borrowing the car. He got a ticket, Lil Twist did, for, reckless driving or something. Anyway, this photographer runs back to his car, parked car across the street after he had taken the photographs, and that's when he was hit by a 69-year-old grandmother who was driving a Toyota Highlander with two of her grandchildren in the back seat. Hmm. She was not held responsible at all. It was not her fault. This guy was recklessly running through traffic when she hit him, and he was just 29 years old. It's a shame, but these photographers have been putting other people at risk for a long, long time, and themselves, for that matter. And something's got to change. Something has to change here.
I agree. I'm with you 100%, Ralph. I'm not happy that this happened to this guy because it backed up the traffic on the 405, and we don't need that. But I will tell you that if somebody's going to die in one of these paparazzo accidents, I'm glad it was the cameraman and not the celebrity.
They cause a lot of problems with this behavior.
Absolutely.
And it needs to be addressed, and maybe this will shed some light onto that problem. But we'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays: record producer George Martin, legendary producer for the Beatles for all those years, 87 years old today. Mel Gibson's 57 years old.
I don't care.
Oh, come on, Mel. You're 57.
I don't care.
It's your own birthday. You don't care?
I don't care.
All right. Danica McKellar from Wonder Years is 38 years old. Eli Manning, quarterback for the New York Football Giants, is 32 years old. Drummer Mark Pontius of Foster the People celebrates his 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. We are back for a new year for 2013. It is Thursday morning, the 3rd of the January. How's that for an old-school Kevin and Bean reference for you?
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
So, Kevin, which New Year's Eve broadcast were you watching this year?
I don't go for the TV on New Year's Eve. It's usually very, very low quality.
How dare you?
They usually have like B and C and D stars that come out and sing a song. You go, I didn't even know they were still alive.
Well, first of all, Carly Rae Jepsen was on the Dick Clark Rockin' New Year's Eve show. So how dare you? She's the Call Me Maybe girl.
Right.
I had to tune in because, you know, T-Swizzle was performing about 20 minutes to midnight. So I had to see some of that. They had Flo Rida. They had Psy with MC Hammer. But the reason
these
that
are
we
bring relatively bigger names than I thought they got.
Yeah, pretty decent.
But the show is still basically unwatchable. And here's why. Because the great Dick Clark is dead. He's the guy who hosted the show for 40 years. And now you've got the haircut Ryan Seacrest on there not being entertaining. And then he throws it to the crowd with Jenny McCarthy out in Times Square.
Oh, no.
Unwatchable.
Oh, no. Did she make a lot of funny faces?
She sure did. And then anchoring in L.A. for that portion of the program on ABC, you got Fergie, who has nothing to say.
Yeah.
So I never thought I'd say this, but even after the stroke, I missed Dick Clark on my TV. I wanted Dick Clark back. Even with the stroke, that's how bad it was. So after 40 years of anchoring the show on ABC, the Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve, this was the first one without Mr. Clark. And we thought, let's find out what he's up to since he passed away back in April. Let's fire up the hotline to heaven and get our old pal Dick Clark back on the show and find out what's going on. Maybe they even watched it in heaven. I don't know. Hello, heaven.
Happy New Year, everybody!
Hi, Mr. Clark. How are you, sir?
Okay,
it's actually amazing
to be here, everybody, in Times Square.
No, it's the third. It's actually January 3rd. Now we're well past New Year's Eve.
Did you say one?
Four. Nine,
New Year's. It's not New Year's Eve, Mr.
Six,
Clark.
Five.
Okay, Dick.
Four.
Dick.
12.
It's not New Year's Eve anymore.
Happy New Year, everybody.
All right.
Let's go to Cisco. Cisco's going to smash hit the Thor song.
I thought that once you died and went to heaven, whatever physical ailments you had here on Earth went away. Like, you shouldn't have a stroke now.
I thought that, too.
I'm disappointing.
You're both wrong. Ryan?
Ryan's not here.
Ryan's not here. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Mr. Clark. We've talked to you before. How are you feeling?
Coming up next, Sixpence None the Richer. I'm live from Times Square.
You're not in Times Square anymore.
My beautiful wife, Carrie, and I.
Oh, don't.
We're celebrating our New Year's Eve kiss.
Don't gum her like you have been. That's not a kiss. That is not a kiss. That's more of a gumming.
She was so happy to wake up this year not wet for the first time in forever. Were you able to watch any of the broadcast? Did you see Ryan Seacrest doing the whole show without you?
I didn't watch the broadcast.
You did or did not?
Broadcast.
You are the broadcast.
Next up, the Alan Parsons Project. Happy New Year, everybody.
How is it that Dick has had a stroke and is dead and sounds just like you, Kevin? What's going on here?
How dare you, sir?
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome, Smash Mouth.
Oh, Mr. Clark. This is actually kind of sad.
I didn't watch the Ryan Seacrest show this year.
Did not see it. Okay.
No, because Ryan killed me.
Ryan killed you?
Ryan Seacrest murdered me.
I did not know that.
Tell the police. Tell someone. Tell Harvey Levin.
Okay. All right.
Ryan Seacrest murdered me to take over the New Year's Eve show.
All right. We'll definitely pass that along.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you, Mr.
Clark. Next, coming up, the Archies and Natalie Imbruglia singing the smash hit, Ryan Seacrest killed me.
Good luck to you. Happy New Year, sir. This is our first show back for 2013, and I'm just kind of still waking up and easing into it. I'm not sure that I'm ready for the Pitbull of comedy, Bobby Sleeve. This may be an explosion of comedy that I'm not prepared for.
Well, first of all, I have to thank you, Bean. I come on the show for years now. I'm part of the family, I feel. And right. First of all, my Christmas, I know you can ask me how it was.
How was your Christmas, Bobby?
Well, I don't really care, Kevin. But you know what? I get the nicest present ever. Much like, I'm not saying it's the best present I ever got, but I would be buried with it, just like your Hawaii 5-0 badge, is that Bean sent me. I never had a Blu-ray player, and he sent me the entire collection of Universal Monsters. It might not have been. I'd like to think it's for Christmas because he gave it to me the last time I was on the show, right before the holidays. And I used that as an excuse to go out and buy a Blu-ray player, which I never. People don't know why I don't have one. I'm always on the road, so when I come home, I turn on my Netflix, whatever. So I finally go. I'm home for a couple of weeks for the holidays. Bean gave me, like I said, the entire collection of all the Universal Monsters: Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman, Mummy, and they were amazing to watch on Blu-ray. And my daughter, my wife went out of town for the weekend. She went to visit her parents, which is great because it gave me a chance to sit there and have all my favorite meals and go to In-N-Out and watch monster movies. And my daughter's now 24, goes, Daddy, I forgot how great these monsters are. And you look back at some of those films, and every generation has their monsters. In the 70s, you had Leatherface, and then there was Freddy Krueger, and then you had Jason, and now this generation has Mitt Romney and Boehner and O'Reilly and Donald Trump. And they're all scary in their own way. So that was a little joke I just wrote for your show. I wrote that on the way over. Thank you.
That was
funny. Slip a joke in. But anyway, it was just so great to watch them all. And if you watch those films, you see these monsters before they met Abbott and Costello, by the way. Because once the monsters met Abbott and Costello, they knew their career was over. It was almost like today, we're watching Celebrity Rehab or Celebrity Apprentice or Dancing with the Stars. Once you go to Celebrity Apprentice, that was the 1940s version of a monster meeting Abbott and Costello. they knew they were never going to work again. But
I sent those to you, Bobby, and I know I have to just interrupt you to talk. But okay. I sent it to you because you didn't have a Blu-ray player, and I know how much you love those old creature features like I do, and I thought it's just insane because you can get a Blu-ray player for like $80 these days.
Right, and so I did that, and I used it as an excuse, and my wife...
I'm glad. Glad you liked it.
Of course, I made it seem like I got it for my wife, too. Well, I got it for us.
Of course.
And she's never gonna watch any of her dumb shows on that, so it doesn't make any difference. But it was just great, man. And then I had the greatest Christmas because she went away to her parents' house, and I get to stay home and watch... I don't have any porn on Blu-ray. I don't know if it makes any difference. I think it's pretty much graphic enough for me, but it's nice. It's probably out there. I would imagine adult
films. I would imagine so too, but depending on the stars, you may not want that.
Exactly. It's almost like 3D. It sounds good on paper, I don't know if I really want to. Anyway, so yeah, it's great to be back here. It's nice to see you guys, and I'll tell you what's funny about my holidays, as long as you brought that up. By the way, Ellie Mae, where were you? Where was that you were talking
Lisa
about?
May.
I went to Belize.
What?
Believe.
Oh, yeah. Now, I tuned in this morning when you were talking about going through the caves. Mm-hmm. Now, were you snorkeling or scuba diving?
Neither.
What, you just swimming?
You swim.
You don't even scuba dive?
I did that, but in the cave, the water comes up to about your neck.
Yeah.
So you're not snorkeling.
Oh, I love it. Do you scuba dive?
I have.
Okay, good. Back to me. So anyway, I just
I didn't get the point of all of that.
There was no point. I just got a few.
Did you have amazing scuba diving there?
Yeah, I know. I went down to that whole Yucatan Peninsula. And it's great. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So, anyway, it's great to be back on the show. And by the way, I'm doing a show this weekend. I want to tell you.
That's at a place I've never heard of.
Well, that's what's interesting. It's been about 4 or 5 years. And I look at the lineup they have, the great Bill Burr, Chris Titus, and they start the new year off with me. It's Flappers in Burbank.
I've driven right by
that. By Flappers?
Yeah.
It's right there in Burbank. And every time I come on your show, I like to say, I'll be at the Wiltern. It's sold out, but I thought I'd get it anyway.
Right.
I'll be at the Staples Center. But it's never, it's Flappers.
It's Flappers.
I've accepted the fact that this could be for the rest of my life. The first
but
time.
But I think it's comedic, Bobby, that every time you come in, you're playing a new venue that we've never heard of. I mean, one time it's a barbecue joint, the next time it's some cholo's backyard. I mean, it's just like, what's the deal? Are you never invited back to play the same place twice? What's happening?
It could be that I like to explore new places. Let's put it that way.
And by new, you mean smaller.
But you know what it is? It's like, you have like, there's not that many clubs in LA. The Improv, the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store don't pay any money. The Comedy Magic Club I do a couple of times a year. Largo, I'm not alternative comedy. I have actual punchlines and jokes and stuff that people will get that don't have nose rings, which those people are fine. They're all welcome to Flappers. But, when I plugged these clubs, it was like the first time I did the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson before this Leno fellow had the show. And I was playing a club in the Bay Area called Rooster T. Feathers. This was back in the early 90s, late 80s.
Rooster T. Feathers.
It's still there, by the way. And I was on a percentage deal. So if I sold out, you know, the club, I would make some money. But there was no way I could go on The Tonight Show. My first appearance with Johnny Carson. And I realized it wasn't Radio City Music Hall. Again, it's not the Wilton Theater. It's not Carnegie Hall. But I couldn't have Johnny go. He'll be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California.
You don't mind us saying Flappers, though?
Yeah, no, Flappers, I don't mind. I've given up. I have no pride anymore.
I've given up.
But I will say for the new year, my show, I have made a resolution. My show, gluten-free. There'll be no gluten.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's very popular.
Is that
now
difficult?
Yeah. I've never gone gluten-free before in my act. You know, I thought about taking out some of the racial humor and sex jokes.
No.
But I said, I got to do something different. I've got to start thinking outside the box. And if I can make my act gluten-free, I didn't even know what that is.
I don't either, but it sounds like it's the hip.
It's very popular right now.
We got a gift certificate for Christmas from a friend of mine for a gluten-free bakery. And I went to the bakery, and the cupcakes are like $8, you know. And regular, they have regular cupcakes, too, which are $7. And you think without the gluten, they're leaving an ingredient out. So you think.
Doesn't cost them as much.
You think it would cost less. But it was actually $6 for a cupcake, $7 for a gluten-free cupcake, $8, I think, or $8.75 for gluten sugar-free. It's like the more they leave out.
Worse they taste, the more expensive they get.
Well, what if you don't want a cupcake? It's $10. And you just walk in, I don't want anything. I want no cupcake, no sugar, nothing. $10.
Like that. What is your secret, Bobby? Again, I mean this with all due respect, but you're an older fellow, maybe older than some folks that we have on the show. Yet you are in unbelievably great health. You look fantastic. What's the secret? What are you doing?
Because I eat gluten. I want to tell you something right now.
Really?
No, because I know the gluten and wheat, all the stuff that they told you was good for you is bad for you. Every year it's something else, you know? First it was eggs and dairy and, you know, and then they find out this stuff is good for you. There's a good cholesterol. Every year, every couple of years, meat good, no good, you know, Atkins diet, not good. Okay. So what I've always figured is this gluten-free. They say wheat's not good for you, but basically, what is gluten? It's pasta. It's what the Italians grew up on. The country of Italy. Nobody in Italy has ever died under 9 years old unless they were killed by the Nazis or the mob or stampeded by cows in the hills of San Marzano. Nobody's ever died in Italy, and they live on gluten. That's all these people eat, are bread and pasta, and they live to 100, and they're fine. And then you look at the French who eat gluten and cheese, and even put cheese on their cigarettes, and these people live to 110.
They put cheese on their
cigarettes. They sprinkle cheese on their cigarettes.
I know that.
You've never been to Paris, have you? They actually sprinkle it on.
Wow.
Yeah, they roll their own cigarettes, pure tobacco, no filter, and they sprinkle cheese, and they have that with bread.
And 4 gallons of wine a day.
And croissants and wine. That's why last time I was on, you know, you were saying to me, remember I told you I drink 2 bottles of wine?
Yes.
And you said, oh, that's crazy. Well, I went to the doctor and had my checkup finally, and he said there could be some kind of cirrhosis of the liver, but right now your blood is perfect. So those 2 bottles
of wine. Does that mean just keep drinking the 2 bottles until he
That's what I would
stop?
Take away from that.
Well, I don't just drink. No, I actually drink about a bottle and a half a night when I'm home cooking, which I did last night. I only did a bottle and a half because I knew I had to get up at 6 and have my energy. I knew I couldn't sleep in. So I was up at 5:30 this morning to do your show. So you can't just have a bottle and a half of wine. You have to have it with gluten to soak up the wine. So the gluten-wine combo, and that's why I look so good.
There you go. Gluten
There's
and wine.
There's the answer right there. All right.
Wow,
Bobby Slayton, that's what you're best at. Bobby Slayton is here. He is going to be at the Flappers in Burbank. They have 2 great comedy clubs.
It's not the Flappers. It's just, you're like an old Jew. He'll be at the Disneyland. It's just Flappers. It's Flappers Comedy Club.
Yeah.
It's
we should have known that. We should have known about the Flappers not being the.
No.
It's Flappers, then, in Burbank on East Magnolia Boulevard. It's going to be Friday night 2 shows, Saturday night 2 shows. Only $20 to see our friend, the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton. We'll take a break and come back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We have Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, in the studio with us. And we asked him about how his holidays were. And every story that's good.
Yeah.
Started out with my wife went out of town.
But let me tell you a quick story. When my wife was in town, my wife comes back. Okay, you know, I have so many jokes about my wife, and I know I've been married for a long time, and it is brutal. It is brutal. You know, we had Christmas. Her birthday is December 28th. She expects the gifts. My anniversary is in 2 weeks. I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff. Even if I had $1 billion, I wouldn't know what to get her outside of expensive jewelry and furs, which, you know, she doesn't like. Thank God, can't afford it anyway. But to buy a woman like I said earlier, if you bought me a Blu-ray player or you know, the Universal Horror Movie Monsters. It's easy. You know, Bean happens to like Hawaii 5-0, which, by the way, Bean, you know what I never got about that Hawaii 5-0? And you mentioned this before. It was, in the credits, it was Kim Fong as Chin Ho, right?
That's right.
What's the difference? Why can't they just call him Kim Fong? Does it make a difference? Kim Fong as Chin Ho? You know, it's like when my kid was little, there's a movie called Bingo, and I had a dog named Ringo play Bingo. Can't you just name the movie Ringo? What's the difference? But why do you have to confuse a dog?
Named one of his dogs that entire little
Kim Fong as Chin Ho. Yes, I did.
Kim Fong, you really did do that?
Yes.
Kim Fong, I really did.
The whole thing.
All right.
As you should hope. Okay.
I know that you get distracted because you were talking about your wife.
Yes. Stay on target. Stay on target.
All right. What happened?
Okay. So here's what happened. So it's New Year's Day. Day after New Year's Day. Yeah. Yesterday. Okay. We always have a Christmas tree. I don't really care that much about the holidays, and it's nothing to do with being a Jew. But my daughter always liked the Christmas tree, and we always have the Christmas music and the gifts under the tree. And my wife always gets a little melancholy and depressed around the holidays because she likes the Christmas tree. And then she cries. Well, my mom's dead, and she remembers all the people that have died in her life. And,
well, that's kind of a bummer.
Well, you always do that. You think back to when you were a kid, and grandma would come over, and she always ruins my Christmas. You know, she has the eggnog, and then she drinks, and then she remembers all the dead people, which, by the way, and Ralph does that, you know, the celebrities, you know, all the people that died this year, and they have Larry Hagman and the great Charles Durning. And I'd rather, you know what depresses me? The people who are still alive. You know, Donald Trump, Mel Gibson, Snooki, the Kardashians. Every year they should show the people that should be dead. That made me much happier. Okay. So yesterday, my wife's sleeping. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to write my new terrific book, If You Can't Laugh at Yourself, Make Fun of Other People, My 35 Years in Showbiz Hell. Now, so I'm getting up early yesterday morning, and I'm taking some of the stuff off the tree. I'm putting it away. And one of those Christmas balls drops, and it explodes in the living room.
Right.
My wife's sleeping. She doesn't get out of bed. It's no big deal. I clean it up. And about an hour later, I peer in to see if my wife needs coffee. Okay. And she says to me, thank God you're okay. What are you talking about? She goes, I heard that explosion. I know you're very depressed. I thought you might have actually have shot yourself. And I said, are you kidding me? She goes, well, I didn't think you would, but I thought you might have. But that shows you what kind of wife I am. She thinks I might have killed myself. And she never got her fat ass out of bed to check. She went back to sleep.
I'm going to get one hour more either way.
He'll still be dead in an hour.
What's the rush?
Boy, he's
the
dead.
Rest of the day is wrecked.
When the dog is barking, she jumps out of bed. The fire alarm goes off by mistake because about alone, she jumps out of bed.
Right.
When my daughter was little, she cries. She jumps out of bed. My husband might have killed himself. Well, there's nothing I could do about it.
Well.
And she stays in bed.
It was probably a little smile that came across her face as well when she went back to sleep.
I think she's right.
I'll tell you about one more Christmas story. Okay. So every year I have this crazy aunt who sends us a fruitcake. And I never ever tried a fruitcake. What?
I love fruitcake.
You told me this last year. I think I don't get fruitcake.
No one does.
Then you haven't had the right fruitcake.
Well, that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's not true.
No, because Bean sent us the right fruitcake.
You know what? That's like saying to a gay guy, well, you haven't had the right woman. Right. I don't like women. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Kevin. Okay. the fruitcakes to me, they just, there's all this crap in there. It's like the head cheese of the dessert world.
No.
It's like jujubes and shoelaces. It's like when the Three Stooges would make a cake or the Little Rascals and whatever fell off the shelf. Yeah. Borax, bananas, they just put everything in this
piece
cake.
Piece of a tire.
Okay, so every year she sends us a fruitcake and every year my wife throws it away and sometimes saves the tin for bobby pins and hair clips who gives it to whatever. So my wife goes to visit her family and there's the fruitcake sitting there for my aunt. And I go, she sends me this every year. And then my wife left it on the counter. And I guess she forgot to throw it out. I put up the fruitcake and it says, have a great 2012. And I go, well, okay, my aunt is old. She got Alzheimer's. But I figured this woman's just a nut, you know?
Right.
And I said, you know what? There's an old lady that lives next door. We never give her anything. So I'm going to go over and give her this fruitcake. And I changed it to happy 2013.
Nice. Okay.
So I go over. I give the lady the fruitcake. And she loves it. And she says, thank you so much. She calls me later. She goes, that's the best, most delicious fruitcake I've ever had. I call up my wife. And she says, you know what? That was last year's fruitcake. I never threw it out. My wife goes, I was looking for something in the drawer with these old pots and pans. My wife had cleaned out the cabinet before she left. She forgot she put the fruitcake in there, and she left it in there for a year. I said, I gave it to the old lady. I gave her the fruitcake, and the old lady calls and goes, it was delicious. Point being that after a year, this fruitcake is still moist and delicious. What they put in there to keep a fruitcake?
Nothing so, real. So there's nothing real
gravel,
in that.
Rubber.
Yes.
But it
that
keeps,
could last forever.
But it keeps it fresh. For a year, and I'm thinking.
I'm saying that's the food you ought to choose for your bomb shelter. That's
oh,
the food
dear God.
That you
I'd
can
rather
put
just,
down in your basement in 5 years from
what
now. It's still good.
What I'm thinking is, whenever they keep that thing fresh, my wife should pour some of that in the tub because if that can keep a fruitcake moist and fresh for a year, who knows how much it'll help my wife.
Bobby Slayton is here. He's going to be at Flappers in Burbank this weekend. Friday night, two shows. Saturday night, two shows. Tickets available at flapperscomedy.com. Before you go, Bobby, I have to ask you this very serious question because I don't know if we'll see you again before.
before your book comes out? Yes. I don't know.
Well, I hope so. Because
we'll see him when his book comes out, I imagine.
You guys are nice enough to have me on. You have all these alternative comics and K-Rock type of comics and guys don't make any sense. And, you know, to have an old fart like me on, I appreciate it. And I like to come in when I'm plugging something. So maybe in May when I play L.A. again, when there's a new club that they build that I can still play at, when there's a new place that nobody's ever played before.
Be playing a new Subway restaurant opening or something. But here's the question I want to ask you now, and then we'll talk more about this when you come back. And that is, you're writing a book about your 35 years in show business, yet you still want to have a career in show business. So does that limit you as to how honest you can be in the stories that you tell?
Oh, no, because here's what I'm saying in the book, okay? You don't want to become too old and bitter, and you don't want to bitch about everybody. But at the same time, I got to burn the bridges I have not blown up yet. There are some things, like Chelsea Handler, who I despise, and I hate her and I hate her show, and I remember... I when she was opening up for me 7 years ago, she asked me if she could get some blow, and I gave her some coke. I got some coke for her, and that monster's never put me on the show, and she never will. And I never want to do it. It's a gay gab fest, and it's horrible. And it would help me sell out tickets even more than your show, but I'm not going to. But and HBO and Showtime's not giving me the time of day anymore. Even Comedy Central. So you know, I don't really have anything bad to say about him, but I do have.
It doesn't sound like it.
No, but I will in the book. When the book comes out, hopefully by then, you know, my wife will be gone. I'll get the life insurance money. My mother will be dead. I'll get her money. And you know something? The only people I'm not going to bitch about seriously, there's about a handful of radio shows. There's you and Corolla and a bunch of other people that have been great to me and supportive of me. And I hope you buy me more Blu-ray stuff next holiday season. And it was great. So, yeah, I have nothing bad to say about K-Rock or Bean.
No, that's too bad. Right,
so, but you do plan to burn some bridges, because that's how you sell books, my friend, is the shocking story of what Jerry Seinfeld did to you one night when you were drunk, or whatever the story is.
You heard about that?
Leave it. I'm just saying, leave it in the book. Leave it in the book.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Bobby Slayton, Flappers in Burbank this weekend. Go see him. Flapperscomedy.com. Tickets are just $20. Trust us. We've seen Bobby. He's great. You'll have a great time. Bobby, happy New Year to you, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
So I'd be flashing that badge everywhere I went. I'd be going, hey, look at me, I'm a cop. Oh, sit down.
In 2013, I got our first Moment with Kevin.
Oh, come on, that doesn't.
That does.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That does.
That's a tiny slip compared to what I normally do.
But look, it's the first game of the season. I'm just happy you got on base, man.
I'm good at getting on base. Don't worry about that.
I would flash that bag.
You don't have to win the pennant first game of the season, man.
He is back.
He is tanned. He is rested. He is ready for 2013, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. New Year's resolutions is going to be the topic coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph, do you have any? Do you do New Year's resolutions or no?
I do the same one every year, just to be a better husband, better father, better friend. That's all.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just sort of a generic, just want to be better than I was the previous year. But I don't set myself. I used to do that. I used to set myself up for all kinds of BS things.
That that's the problem. Is you set yourself for
smoking, drinking, weight, everything that everyone does. I tried
smoking. I did this year. I'm going to start smoking.
Oh, good man. Yeah.
Well, we will discuss success and failure of New Year's resolutions coming up next. And then we got some fishermen coming in the Matic Like Hours.
Yeah!
So it's a huge show still on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Got wicked tuna. That's what you got. All right, let's talk about New Year's Eve, since we were. Leonardo DiCaprio knows how to celebrate. He was on a yacht in Sydney Harbor in Australia when the clock struck 12 and 2013 was ushered in. He was there with Jamie Foxx and Jonah Hill and other celebrity bigwigs. They all toasted the new year. And then around 1 a.m., I guess they got a little restless. So they all hopped aboard Leo's private jet and flew to Las Vegas to continue the party.
Wow.
Same thing I did this year.
Really?
Same thing. I was in Sydney Harbor. I'm surprised I didn't see him. I was on my yacht in Sydney Harbor. And then I said, everybody, let's just pop on my private jet and we'll all go to Vegas. What do you say?
What kind of jet do you have?
Turbo. Turbo 3000.
Yeah, I don't know.
The latest and greatest.
That's the rapper from Outkast, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio had a good time.
Who, by the way, was great in Django Unchained. You guys see that?
I have not seen that yet. I'm way behind. I don't think
he
I saw
was
a movie
awesome.
The whole holiday.
He was great in the first 2.5 to 3 days of that movie.
Is it a little lengthy for
a
you?
A bit lengthy.
Long.
Yeah.
He had a good time. Sofia Vergara, however, did not have a good time.
Why?
She was in Miami with her fiancé, Nick Loeb. And you got to be cruel to be kind. I always found
nope.
That's a,
nope.
I love
different guy.
Love that guy.
Similar name, different guy.
And so they're partying, and it was an event that was hosted by Sofia Vergara's ex-boyfriend, Chris Paciello.
Why would they do that?
Because they're still friends.
Oh,
because
okay.
Sofia and Chris are still friends. Because after you've been banging Sofia Vergara, I don't think you ever want to let that relationship
no,
die.
No, that's true.
So she says, okay, my fiancé, let's go to my ex-boyfriend's party. That's where we're going to go. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, you're just
it?
Asking for it.
And it was, in fact. It made Nick very tense, according to people who were at the party. And because of that, Sofia and Nick, her fiancé, started arguing. Then Nick got into a pushing and shoving match with guests of the party at another table.
All right.
That started a fight. Sofia jumped into the action, got the top of her dress torn.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a new year.
Now we're getting somewhere.
And then Nick was thrown out of the nightclub where the party was being held. So this was all before the clock even struck 12.
Wow.
So it was a bad, bad night for Sofia and fiancé.
I saw that New York Post article where they suggested that not only was the top of her dress torn, but her breasts were actually thrown out of them. They were actually exposed.
I saw the same suggestion, but I didn't know whether it was wishful thinking on their part. I mean, I couldn't really get a bead on whether anyone had actually seen that part.
It's funny. It wasn't part of the fight that somebody just decided that needed to be done.
What? They saw a ruckus. They just ran over and just yanked the top of her dress down real quick. Thought they could get away with it.
At a New Year's Eve party in Miami, doesn't every person in that place have a camera? Don't they all have a camera or a phone with them?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, I would think.
How does something like this not have evidence to back it up one way or another?
That's why I didn't play up that aspect of it, because I wasn't sure if that
play
was
it up.
I choose to believe.
All right, so Sofia Vergara's cans were flapping around New Year's Eve.
She hit a guy with them.
That's right. So I'm just saying, it didn't sound like a great New Year's Eve.
Or
the greatest New Year's Eve ever, depending whether you were looking for her fiancé or you were just an onlooker who said, yeah, when you saw those bounce out. Who, by the way, is the recipient of this year's Chelsea Award that we give out every year at the Hollywood Babylon New Year's Eve show.
The Chelsea Award.
The Chelsea Award, which is the annual award we give to the most talentless C-word of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Named, of course, after Chelsea Handler, the original talentless C-word. And so the Chelsea this year went to Lindsay Lohan. It was pretty much a landslide. You really couldn't compete. Although I think Kim Kardashian announced her baby just before New Year's, trying to
steal the award away.
Trying to weasel her way to the top of the rankings. But Lindsay Lohan has some problems, not the least of which is her friends and family now have decided, this according to the National Enquirer, so take it for what it's worth, they've gotten together and they said the best thing that could happen to her is for her to go to jail. So a lot of them, she's been asking people to write letters on her behalf and to testify to her character, and they are, for her own best interest, deciding not to participate because they think she may be best served by going into jail and perhaps being scared straight. No, it has nothing to do with
her in jail.
The shower scenes. They say rehab drying out has never worked for her. The best option may be to have her everyday luxuries stripped away and to force her to take a good, long, hard look at the girl in the bunk above her. So if your own friends and family are starting to say maybe you should go to jail.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go to jail. That's all I'm saying. We keep saying that out of a beer mug and he won't go.
That's true. Hey.
We have to get him in jail somehow. How do we do that?
That should be our goal for this year.
Come on. I guarantee it'll probably be for stealing food if he does get arrested for anything.
No, this is the year he's going to lose all of
it. Oh, that's right. That's why he's just packing as much food into his mouth as we speak.
He's going to diet. He just hasn't started yet for the new year.
You missed his big plan. Or were you here, Kevin, for that?
I was here.
When he's going to just eat as much junk food as humanly possible. This way, when he goes to lose the weight, it's just going to drop off.
He's super logical about that kind of stuff.
He's been just overeating for so long, his body will just respond to the lack of calories by just dropping that weight.
Right? Love it.
Did you really blow it out over the Christmas vacation, Muggs?
I went nuts.
He's doing it now. He can't stop putting food in his mouth. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mark Pontius of Foster the People's 28 years old today. New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning is 32.
So what happened? They won that last game of the season, but they were already too. It didn't matter to them. They had somebody else had to lose. Was that what happened?
They needed
to them,
a lot of help. Yeah, and it's
one of those deals.
And it ended up being by the end of the day they were out of it, and it came down to the Dallas Redskins game to see who was going to take the East. And
let me ask you this: while we're on a football
football tip for a moment here. How happy should Kevin be that it looks like Andy Reid will be coaching his Cardinals next year?
See, that was a rumor that really was unfounded this weekend.
He
hadn't even interviewed with the Cardinals yet.
I wanted to ask you if we want him.
He's a great coach, don't get me wrong. I think he's a really good coach, and I think he would help any team that he went to. I just think after a while you stay with a team for too long, I think you start to lose the locker room a little bit.
Yeah.
People get used to hearing your voice, and you don't cut through anymore, and it's the same old, yeah. same old. And
can Andy Reid play quarterback?
He cannot.
Oh. No.
However, he did coach and bring along Kevin Cobb in Philadelphia, and Kevin had a great great time in Philadelphia in terms of when he played. He was really good there, so maybe he can work some magic with him there in Arizona. But he did go to interview with the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. So they're saying they've got the heads up, or the leg up, I guess, because he hasn't even interviewed with the Cardinals yet, although that has been bandied about, too. And also the Chargers, they say he might go there, too.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
Mel Gibson turns 57 years old today.
That's provocative.
Thank you so much. Okay. Robert Loggia, very talented character actor, 83 years old today. And George Martin, record producer for the Beatles for their lengthy career, 87 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky checks in for the first time for 2013, coming up later this hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Then we'll have a couple of the captains in from Wicked Tuna on the Nat Geo channel. They go out and catch fish for a living. They make more in 10 days, Kevin, than most people make in a year.
Wow.
That's the lucrative draw of being a big sea fisherman. So we'll
talk
to those guys.
You work 10 days a year?
You can. I bet they do other things. I mean, I certainly would. I do other things. But yeah, that's quite a payday, isn't it, if you get the right fish? First, though, it is the first show for the new year for the Kevin and Bean program. Thanks a lot for remembering us and tuning in. We're talking about New Year's resolutions right now because that's just a couple days behind us. I thought that people were over New Year's resolutions. I don't feel like I hear as much about it as I used to. But apparently, a lot of people still do it. Apparently, about half the people still make New Year's resolutions.
I think the reason that you don't hear so much about it anymore is one statistic that I have in front of me, which is the percentage of people who are successful in achieving their New Year's resolution. 8%.
So, meaning making a permanent change on New Year's, you mean? Or for any specific amount of time, maybe?
I don't know. It just says people that are successful. So whatever their resolution was, they were able to do it.
8%.
8%.
Wow.
So, you know, most people pick something like, stop smoking or something like that. It's not all that easy.
Yeah, big stuff they've been trying to do forever.
And my opinion on this is that people who then smoke one cigarette, their resolution is blown, so they give it up. Well, that's absurd. Right. You should keep trying, but that's the way it goes.
And Ralph made a great point a few minutes ago when we were talking about this, too, which is that what a lot of people do is try to change their entire life overnight. They go, all right, I'm not going to be that person anymore. Now I'm going to stop smoking, and I'm going to start working out, and I'm going to start eating better, and I'm not going to date the wrong people, and I'm going to get along better with my in-laws, and I'm, it just goes on and on and on. And basically, you're just painting yourself into a corner. It's impossible to live that way.
On January 1st in my neighborhood, there were a lot more people jogging, and I just felt the need to roll. I didn't, but I felt the need to roll down my window and go, stop it!
You know this won't last.
You're going to stop in a week anyway.
And I know a lot of people think that it's super dumb to put an arbitrary date on making a change like that. Like, if you need to do something, if you need to make a change in your life, if you need to, I don't know, get more exercise or try harder to find a better job or try harder to find a boyfriend or whatever it is, why wait till January 1st? But some people do just need that clean slate, that fresh start in their mind to get their engine going.
Well, I also think that the holidays really mess up your life in a lot of ways. You're not on the same schedule.
Yeah.
So that is so not the time to start a diet or exercise. Yeah. I mean, life is just crazy at that time. So January is a great time where everything settles down.
I mentioned quit smoking. There is a top 10 list out of resolutions for last year, and quit smoking was seven. It was number seven.
Number seven.
So there's six above it. Number 10 is spend more time with family. And most
are
people,
you kidding me?
Most people that do that go, I don't like that.
You mean don't spend more time with family?
No,
you read that wrong, right? Really?
Number 9 is fall in love.
I don't know. You can make a resolution
to
do that.
That's a weird resolution, right? Number 8 is help others in their dreams.
Weird.
That's
all
bogus.
Right.
That's bogus, by the way. There's no way to measure that. Hey, how you doing on your resolution? Good. All right, great. 7 is quit smoking. 6 is learn something exciting.
Okay.
5 is staying fit and healthy. 4 is enjoying life to the fullest. 3, spend less, save more. 2, getting organized.
And the number one New Year's resolution from last year is probably the number one resolution from this year, which is to lose weight.
Of course.
Yeah. Gotta be lose weight.
But that's the problem with all of these. You need like really specific things, not just lose weight or exercise, but like I'm going to go walk three times a week or something. People, like you said, people make such big.
Well, my favorite thing, though, about New Year's resolutions is that people do spend, you know, a lot of time and effort, and they think, okay, this is what I need to do. This is how I need to change my life permanently. And on this date, it begins. And so then they plan it, and then they're ready, and then they think about it, and then they start it. So it's always funny to me to find out the quickest, the shortest amount of time that somebody blew their New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. Shortest amount of time. So you really meant it. And then at 12:01 on January 1st, you know, you tried. You went for an hour without smoking.
And then you went, oh, it's too hard.
It's too hard. Too hard. I need a hard. Cigarette.
Maybe next year.
I'll start tomorrow.
I love taking these calls, too. And we're going to open up the phones right now for the first phone topic for 2013, 1-800-520-1067. We'd like to hear from people who have already broken their New Year's resolutions. In the past, we've had, I'm not going to hook up with that ex anymore. And sure enough, that night, it ends up happening. I'm not going to eat fast food anymore. Sure enough, the next day, they're at Taco Bell, whatever it is. We want to hear from you if you've already broken your New Year's resolution at 1-800-520-1067. And ultimately, we would like to find the person who broke it the fastest.
Yes.
If you broke it 8 minutes in, you know, more power to you, right? That's awesome. Let me, while the phones are ringing, again, toll free, 1-800-520-1067. Let me just give you a couple of New Year's resolutions that Mashable put out. They put out a list of New Year's resolutions. And you tell me how successful these people are likely to be with their resolutions for 2013. All for right. instance, Dolores says, She says in 2013 she will clean her sex toys every day.
Oh, right.
Samantha says her New Year's resolution, become more of a recluse and wear paper towels as mittens.
See, now that's the kind of stuff, like my resolution would be to throw up more, because I know I can accomplish that.
I'm concerned about Sari. Her resolution is to leave her dog alone. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't like the sound of that. Morgan says, my New Year's resolution is to be able to finish a burrito from Chipotle.
They are pretty big burritos.
I don't know what's going on there. My New Year's resolution, to find someone to kiss besides my dog. Okay, there's another one that gets into creepy dog. New Year's resolution from Nick is don't smoke weed at school. Finally, Millpool, whatever that means. Last year I made a resolution to think with my vagina more, and that led to me getting fired this year, so I'm going to roll with that again. So she made the mistake, screwed up the resolution, and is coming back for more.
She's happy with it.
All right, let's just take one call real quick before the break, and then we'll come back with everybody else. Louie is going to start us off here at 1-800-520-1067. Louie, happy New Year. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How long did it take you to break your New Year's resolution, my friend?
4 hours after I woke up.
Nice.
There it is. What was it?
It was bacon. I was supposed to go vegan.
You were going to go vegan? That's really extreme.
Yeah, I was trying to go healthy.
Okay.
And then what bacon?
And then what happened? So you woke up on New Year's morning, January 1st. You thought, all right, new start, new
really
year,
going to
go vegan. Hungover, okay.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I need some bacon and eggs.
But how long did you think, oh, but that's my resolution, blah, blah, blah?
I didn't think of it.
Not at all.
Like, I want some bacon.
Just had bacon.
All right. Yeah. So here's the follow-up question. Does that mean it's shot for the year and the whole thing is off, or are you going back to it and trying it again?
I think I'll start again next year.
You will be as successful. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067.
We'll catch up with Dr. Drew here in just a couple of minutes. First, though, we have time for a few phone calls. New Year's resolution's gone bad. They've already been broken. Here it is, the 3rd of January, and they are already distant in your rearview mirror. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to John on line 3, please, to get us going. John, I think he had a flaw in his design plan, don't you, Kevin?
Yes, definitely. John, what was your New Year's resolution?
How's it going, party people? Good. My New Year's resolution was to quit drinking.
Quit drinking?
Yes.
You've had a problem with alcohol this past year?
Not so much a problem, but just wasn't happy with myself drinking the amount that I was. And I did good. I was sober 2 days before that. New Year's Eve, went to the party, had a great time. Got into an argument with a couple people, led into a fist fight, and my face was kind of hurting. So I decided to kill it with a bottle of Everclear.
That was before Everclear.
Did you say a bottle of Everclear?
Well, it's... It started off, took a few of that, and then ended up blacking out. Next thing I know, I woke up with a couple bottles of beer around me, a bottle of Jack, and
here's the design flaw.
But he
though.
Doesn't have a problem drinking. No. He's just unhappy with himself.
Here's the design problem, though, John, is that New Year's Day starts New Year's Eve at midnight, and New Year's Eve, pretty famously known for drinking alcohol.
Right.
Why would you?
Yeah, why not start the next morning when you wake up? That's my question.
It wouldn't have made any difference, but...
It wouldn't have made any difference in your case, I guess, yeah.
No, not really.
All right, well, good work.
Hey, you'll be meeting Dr. Drew soon anyway. He's got that rehab jump. All right, let's go to Mike, who also had problems on New Year's Eve while he was still out, presumably celebrating the holiday. Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy New Year. What happened, dude?
What's up, party people?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I was bound and determined to quit smoking this year, and I fell asleep at 11:30. I woke up at 12:16 and sparked one up.
All right, there now when you woke up at 12:16, when you made it that whole 16 minutes, you woke up and lit one. Was that just reflex, or did you realize you were breaking your New Year's resolution?
No, I figured I would just quit after the New Year's Day.
Sure.
And I just walked out of the Shell station after buying my last pack a few minutes ago.
Oh, you bought another pack. Good. So you'll start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good luck with that, Mike.
Yeah, good luck. That's about the toughest thing a man could try to do. All right, let's just do one more. We've got Jennifer on line one. Of course, all Jennifers are hot, so I'm always happy to welcome one to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. What's going on?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Jennifer.
my New Year's resolution was to stop being a whore.
Well, Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Whoa, let's back up here. Pump the brakes for a second. Hold on.
No, don't be hasty rushing into stupid ideas. What happened here?
What kind of ridiculous decision is that?
Well, it's just time to, you know, stop banging around. I'm too old for that now.
How old are you, Jennifer?
I'm 33.
You've got plenty of good years left in you.
That's right.
Seriously. There's no rush to settle down anymore. Why not?
You can settle down when you're 53.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So what happened? That was your New Year's resolution. 2013, this is the year I'm not going to give it up to every guy I meet. What happened? What went wrong?
I slept with the bouncer in the backseat of his car at 1 a.m.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, Jennifer. Was this a bouncer that you had just met New Year's Eve?
Yeah. Well, I've known him because I go to this club kind of regularly.
Oh,
so
I see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was drinking a factor?
Yes.
Yeah, because if you're going to stop being a slut, you really might have to stop drinking.
That's true. You might have to start with that resolution.
And that'll never work. So
that's a problem. I don't have a problem.
No, not at all. I don't think so either. You are, Jennifer, you are the first and possibly best Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day for 2013. Thank you. By the way, just ahead of going to Dr. Drew on the phone here, what about tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show? You think we come back rusty? You think it would take us a while to kind of get back in the groove? Listen to this. Brad Williams on the program tomorrow.
Okay.
The return of LaQuisha on the show tomorrow.
Oh,
Matt Money Smith on talking about Lakers versus Clippers. Of course, both teams playing out of their minds right now. Carrie Brownstein, one of the stars of Portlandia. Former rock star Carrie Brownstein is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow.
That's very cool.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
And comedian Daryl Lennox. All of that tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky is back. First time in 2013. Of course, he is the star of the HLN Dr. Drew Show, Monday through Friday, and good old Loveline right here on K-Rock. Hey, Doc. How was your holiday, my friend?
It was good. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. Great to be back. Great to talk to you again. I want to talk first about people who shouldn't be driving in the snow. Do you have any thoughts on that topic?
Let me see. anyone who lives in Los Angeles, grew up in Los Angeles.
What happened?
I drove into a snowbank.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Where were you, Dr. Drew?
I mean, why do you know these things? It's
he pays too close attention. You know that.
I like to stay current. What happened?
Well, I was skiing in Montana and driving my kids and, you know, Colleen Williams, the newscaster on NBC.
Yeah.
We stay with them in a beautiful place in Montana, and they're very crazy. We're freeloaders, let's face it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And, but we, you know, rented a big, suburban SUV, a light car, and, you know, we were, I can't believe I'm telling you this story, drove out of a parking lot after a day of skiing and proceeded down the hill and proceeded to slide and proceeded to just fly into a snowbank and had to get towed out by a Jeep, yeah.
Were you able to get home before the cops showed up so they couldn't give you a breathalyzer?
Montana, they don't seem to worry about that kind of thing.
Remember, Montana's the place where there's no speed limit, right, Dr. Drew?
Parts of it, but let's be fair, Bean. I was going about 12 miles an hour. It just... I was turning and going, for, you know, I don't know how to drive on ice into the snow. I went to school in New England, right? I should know.
Sure.
I don't.
All right, but let me ask you this question. How long after you found yourself careened into a snowbank did you think about Corolla and what he was going to make fun of you for?
12 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, 12 seconds. And I thought, oh, my God. One thing I cannot do is call the automobile club. Like, if I call AAA, I will never hear the
end. You're not a man. You're not a man in Ace's mind. Kevin, you'll remember that's why Adam wrote his first book, In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, is because Dr. Drew called AAA to fix a flat tire.
Well,
that's how the whole empire began.
And I think that was the right response for Adam.
That's why he wrote the book.
I love it.
That's why he wrote the damn
book. He should have. Nobody calls AAA for a tire.
I do. And
you are a pussy.
Okay. And had some kind Montana not happen by in an appropriate vehicle, driving appropriately with, of course, a chain,
sure,
which they all carry, which I didn't have,
right,
or strap or whatever. I would have been calling AAA. Would have been awesome.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one more question on this, and then we got to move on to another topic, and that is Colleen Williams had that little skunk patch in her hair for like 30 years on TV. Then she decided to start dying it. Why?
I'll ask her for you, Bean, and we'll report back next week. I can tell you this, it's completely natural, though. And her son had the same thing.
Huh. All right. New topic. You tweeted last week, and please tell me that you were just joking and making fun of the mentally ill, that you suffer from triskaidekaphobia, the fear of the number 13, and that 2013 was going to be your year to face it. Please tell me you were kidding.
First of all, just when you started mentioning that I careened in the snowbank, somehow I knew this was coming next.
Ah.
No, I don't suffer from it. It's not like I'm paralyzed by it. But I noticed a few years ago that I get a little weird when I see 13 show up on clocks or on dates and things.
That's strange.
And there's actually a condition called triskaidekaphobia. And it's actually, I will tell you, as someone who, like, you have any weird thoughts, it's always reassuring to know that somebody else has had them and there's a name for it.
Sure.
And it's not quite as weird as you thought it was. And I think this is my year for exposure therapy for triskaidekaphobia, because for 12 months I'm going to have to look at the number 13.
Right. And this is something that has been around, and I'm sure you've done the research on this, Doc. You probably brought it up on your HLN show this week. It's been around for hundreds of years. This is not uncommon either, right?
It's not uncommon. And as soon as Kevin, you're going to be shocked to know that Bean picked this up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Shocking. I Twittered about it, just a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, be fair, but to sort of, reach out to other people that I know have this, because it is such a common thing, and I got hundreds of responses of people who are going, oh, my God, me too. Oh, my God,
okay.
That's so weird.
They all felt sorry for you, Dr. Drew.
But you're a doctor. You're a doctor, and you deal with people's phobias all the time. What do you think this is about? It's completely irrational, and you're smart enough to know that. What's happening?
I have a little bit of OCD, right? And that has served me well, like through school and things. But when you get OCD, you can get strange, intrusive thoughts about, it's the same condition that has you stepping over cracks in the cement, for fear, ooh, something's going to happen to me if I step on that crack. People do that, Bean, right? Yes?
Yeah, no, people
We've
do.
Heard
sure,
of it, yeah.
People do it, yeah.
Sure, that wasn't too weird for
yeah.
you.
But you're the crazy one here.
But this is the same zone as that. This is you have these weird, strange, intrusive emotions and thoughts that you know are irrational and that are attached to things that are just sort of symbolic and mean nothing in reality. But you still have these little obsessive kinds of things. And it's a part of your temporal lobe firing.
Does it make you feel better when you get in an elevator and there's a 12 to 14, there's no 13? Does that make you feel better? Because I always thought that was just dumb.
No, that's for me.
Really?
That's for me and the triskaidekaphobia.
Wow.
All right, let me ask you this then. Would you ever change something? Like, would you not take a flight if it had a 13 in it or not buy something if it had a 13 on it? I mean, are you that crazy?
No, absolutely not. But I would have a weird I have a weird feeling, and then chastise myself for about 12 hours.
Yeah.
So. Physician, heal thyself. That's all the advice I have for you today, Dr.
Exposure therapy, my friend. This is the year of the exposure.
Here's what I like about Dr. Drew, too, is he comes up with a very technical triskaidekaphobia. And then he just throws that around because it's a technical term.
It makes you feel better. When it's got a name, it makes you feel better.
It should, yeah.
HLN weeknights and then Sunday through Thursday night right here on K-Rock with our friend Psycho Mike Catherwood. Happy New Year, Dr. Drew. Thanks for coming on.
New Year, you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Couple of real live captains joining us in studio right after the top of the hour from the TV show Wicked Tuna on Nat Geo. Got a couple of Daves who go out there and they catch big fish for a living. That's what they do. How different is their life from ours, by the way?
I rented Wicked Tune over the weekend. It was not the same thing.
Completely different.
Trying to do a little research for our guests.
I didn't see him in it either.
Different.
Talk to those guys coming up first, though. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's up, dude?
Congratulations to Hugh Hefner and his new bride, Crystal Harris.
They
went through with it?
We haven't had a chance to congratulate them since their marriage on New Year's Eve. Hugh Hefner woke up the next day and said, "I went pudding." No one really knows what that means. But the 86-year-old Playboy founder and icon married his 26-year-old bride on New Year's Eve. This, by the way, was the same gold-digging whore who left him at the altar 5 days before their marriage was supposed to happen last year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You don't play hard to get with a guy who's well into his 80s, by the way.
Apparently, I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Apparently you do, because he took her back, gave her another ring. She sold the first ring, by the way.
What?
Oh, yeah, the first engagement ring, which was worth about $90,000.
Are you?
She auctioned that off, and so she got a new 3-carat diamond ring.
He must really not remember.
He is so old, he thinks it's a brand new girl.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my theory. So they got married at the mansion, as you can imagine. They say it was a very simple ceremony because Hef doesn't understand a lot of words anymore.
So doesn't know where he is.
They have to go to
very,
bed.
Very simple, yeah.
He had to be in bed by 8:30 or something on New Year's Eve, I imagine.
There was a harpist and a flautist.
Sure.
Who played their favorite songs leading up to the ceremony. Then, of course, that was the big annual New Year's Eve party up there at the mansion. Hef heard it was great. After the wedding, Crystal changed him and put him down, and he went out and got airtight. So it all worked out for everybody. Everybody had a good time. Congratulations, Hef.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Hefner, instead of his new old nickname, Hef, has now changed his nickname to "What the Hef Were You Thinking?"
What's in it for her? I mean, the empire, it's not like she's going to inherit everything when he dies in a few months, right?
There's a lot of other people in line. A lot of ex-wives and kids and stuff in line.
Yeah. I don't get what's in it for her.
At his peak, they say he was worth about $400 million. They said currently he's worth only about $46 million.
Ouch.
Well, there's still something. So there's something worth sticking around for, I guess.
Look, how much time does he have to put in?
Yeah.
It's months, right?
So, his mom lived to be well over 100, so apparently genetically he's predisposed to stick around, but... Look, even if she puts in 20 years, she end up being a hot-looking 46-year-old millionaire.
Yeah.
She can bone all the 20-something guys she wants to. She is doing considerably better than the gentleman in Norfolk, England this week. He was just walking down the street, minding his own business, when he was attacked by Oompa Loompas.
What?
Two Oompa Loompas confronted him, knocked him to the ground, and then kicked and beat him about the head and face.
Did anyone see this besides this guy?
And ran away. He reported the crime to the police. How do you report the crime to the police?
No, you don't.
Yeah, I was beaten up by two Oompa Loompas. Right, sure you were. Move along, sir.
We got to ask Brad Williams tomorrow when he's in. I'm sure he knows these guys.
Yeah, they were completely outfitted in the green wigs and the orange skin and the costumes and everything, and no word on why they picked on him, but he was assaulted by Oompa Loompas.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
What do you get when you walk through a maze? Knocked to the ground and kicked in your face. There must be an Oompa Loompa song in there somewhere. That's just rough.
That is rough.
Well, but Kevin is right. Even if it happened, that's a story that you'll never convince anyone the rest of your life is true.
It's like Bill Murray playing kickball with you or something.
Right. Leave it at beat up. You don't have to tell by who.
Right. You have to say it was a couple midgets dressed up as Oompa Loompas. And Kesha says that she is a vengeful person. She has kept a list her whole life of people who have been soulless and judgmental to her, or told her that she was ugly or too fat to hit the big time. So she has kept a list of all these people, and she tries to rub it in their face as often as possible with her recent success.
I hope I'm on that list, because I stand by all those remarks.
Yeah, you must be.
That's weird.
Yeah.
She's showing them.
She also says she is an anti-bullying activist because her 13-year-old brother
is a stutterer, and she has seen him being bullied his whole life, so she is an anti-bullying activist.
Well, I mean, I hope she's enjoying it because her second album couldn't be a bigger bomb.
She's
got an album out right now that no one cares about. No
I
one
do.
Bought. No one's playing.
She had sex with a ghost.
What?
Yeah. She had sex she with a ghost, Kevin.
That's
what
she
led to the inspiration for her new album.
All right.
The ghost kept banging her. She had to move out of the house. She left the house because she said it was haunted and the ghost kept having sex with her.
Now I love her.
Couldn't the ghost have picked someone better to have sex with?
Yeah, if you're a ghost, you could pick. You have your pick,
haunt
right?
Sofia Vergara's house.
Yeah. Speaking of Sofia Vergara, she and her fiance, Nick Loeb, of course, from Rockpile, Cruel to Be Kind, one of my favorite songs.
That's Nick Loeb, different guy.
He was at a party in Miami during 2013 with his lovely fiance, Sofia Vergara. But here's the weird part. It was hosted at a nightclub by one of Sofia's ex-boyfriends, Chris Passiello.
Weird.
Weird, right? It's weird. Yeah. So they show up, and this causes her fiance, Nick Loeb, to be very tense, apparently, according to onlookers. He was uncomfortable in the situation. Sofia was spending the night, hanging out with Chris and talking to him. They're apparently very close. This started an argument between Sofia and her fiance. Then he got into a pushing and shoving match with other patrons, club goers at another table. They started fighting. Sofia wound up getting pulled into this situation. She got tussled. And if you believe the story, the top of her dress was ripped down and torn, and her breasts were released.
I believe it.
That should be a new tradition in Miami in 2013. Instead of dropping the ball, they do in Times Square in New York.
In the United States.
You drop Sofia Vergara's boobs to celebrate.
This might be the first time I've ever wanted to attend an event.
Yes, the start of the new year.
Big ones, right?
Her fiancé, Nick Loeb, was then booted out of the club. He was
boobs
ejected.
Come out.
He was ejected.
He was kicked out.
That's right. And then airtight.
Every story
has airtight.
This is the best ending to any story. So.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Record producer George Martin. He produced the Beatles. That's not a bad gig.
No.
You want to pick one band that you want to be the driving creative force behind in the studio? The Beatles would be a good one to pick. 87 years old today. Robert Loggia celebrates his 83rd birthday. Dabney Coleman has been an actor for a ton of years. It's been around forever. But a lot of people probably don't remember that work. However, you do know him as the Commodore from Boardwalk Empire. So great on that show.
He's terrific. Yeah.
81 years old today. Stephen Stills of Crosby, Stills, and Nash in Buffalo Springfield, 68 years old. John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin, 67 years old. Mel Gibson is 57. It is your birthday. I guess you got to do deserve it. Danica McKellar from the Wonder Years is 38 years old. Eli Manning, New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning, celebrates his 32nd birthday.
How often does it happen that a guy wins the Super Bowl and then doesn't make the playoffs the next year?
That is rare. I know repeating Super Bowls is tough, but to be not in the playoffs at all is rare.
Yeah.
Well, look, they always have that thing. The Giants, they're hot or cold, and they just got cold at the wrong time like they got hot at the right time last year. And Mark Pontius, drummer for Foster the People. He's 28 years old today. Going back to football real quickly again. Anybody else but me would just love to see Peyton Manning back in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Love it. Now that I
love
don't
it.
Have a team in the
would
fight,
love it.
It would be great for Peyton
great
to
story.
Take Denver back. And to win a Super Bowl this year would be the greatest.
Can they play the Colts, or is that the same
No, that would be the same conference, so they would not end up playing the Colts. But maybe they'll see him in the playoffs, so.
There's this one player, Ralph, I don't know his name, but he played for the Falcons for the first five games of the year, then got traded. Then Falcons won all five of those games, then got traded to the Broncos for the last 11 games. So he has not lost a game this entire season.
Wow.
How lucky is that dude?
I have no idea what that feels like. No idea whatsoever.
Nor do I.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Very excited to be back on the air after the long vacation with a new show for 2013 and proud to introduce our new feature, which is Fisherman Thursdays here on the Kevin Beach Show. Ladies and gentlemen, two of the captains from Wicked Tuna on the Nat Geo channel coming back for season two this Sunday night, January 13th at 6 o'clock. Dave and Dave, welcome to the show, you guys. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Captain Dave Marciano, you are with what ship, sir?
My boat's a fishing vessel, Hyde Merchandise.
All right. And
we're the classy boat in the fleet.
You're the classy boat, all right?
And how about you, Captain Carrar? What do you say about your boat?
I own the tuna.com.
Tuna.com. That sounds very progressive, very 21st century.
The tuna don't come.
We'll see. Like, we'll see about that.
Oh, these guys are competitors.
It's getting the smack talking is already going here. So you guys do. You seem friendly with one another, but you actually do when it comes time to get out there and start fishing. You're going for the same fish, right?
We are. Yep.
Yep.
And what fish is that?
That's the Atlantic bluefin tuna. It's quite a fishery that we have going on. It's done with rod and reel, and these fish, on occasion, can exceed 1,000 pounds.
Wow!
So it can be quite exciting.
Now, how much money can you make off of one fish?
Personally, I've got as much as $24,000 for one fish, that's definitely not the norm. You know what I mean?
What's the norm?
You know, they average 8 to 10 grand a fish.
We're
dealing with individual fish. The quality is a little bit different on each fish,
mm-hmm.
and we're selling these fish in an auction a lot of times, so that factors into it as well.
If there's
a whole bunch of fish in the auction, you're not going to get that big money, but if you get lucky, you get a nice fish, there's not much fish around, boom, it hits an auction, and that's when you have one of those big scores.
Right.
But how can the fish possibly be worth that much when I can go down to my supermarket and buy a can of tuna for like 80 cents? I mean,
what's the market? Tuna. That's yellowfin. Longfin tuna really just has no value.
For God's sake, try to keep up with your tunas.
So, in other words, what you're catching is the fancy sushi tuna, then,
yep.
right?
And it's not so much a delicacy here; it's a delicacy in Japan.
Interesting. Okay, now this is forgive me for such a basic question, but I really don't know why are you so old school? Why is it rod and reel? Wouldn't it be so much easier, and you could catch more fish if you went out there with a big net?
We can't do it.
That's part of the regulations in this country. It's how we manage the fishery.
I see.
It's sustainable, very sustainable.
Uh-huh. So you can't just drop a stick of dynamite and then they all come up.
No.
That's how I would fish.
As much as there's days when we can't get the little guys to bite,
mm-hmm.
I have to remember I have to watch
Thank
my language.
Thank you for cleaning up your language.
There's days when we see them literally sometimes for hours a day. You can see them down there, and we can't get them to take a bait.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's on your boat. That's on your boat.
All right.
It's on again.
So, captains, why is the – it sounds like the way I've been reading about the Nat Geo show, it sounds like it's a very short season. There's a very tiny window where you're allowed to catch the fish. Is that right?
Officially, it opens on June 1st. And it closes on December 31st, or when we reach our allocated quota.
Half a year, okay.
So it's half a year, okay. And there's obviously, even on a busy year, there's a limited amount of fish. And sometimes I imagine you have, dozens, maybe more boats out at one time trying to catch all the fish?
Hundreds, sometimes hundreds.
Hundreds at one time.
Hundreds of boats. Right. Do you guys ever fight for a spot? This is my spot.
No. I was here first.
You had a little grade school stuff?
You have no idea.
what's the term you guys use on the show for the, not the professionals, but the amateurs that get out there and they want to get a piece of your business?
Googans.
And tell me about a Googan. What's so frustrating about a Googan?
Googans, we were all Googans at one point, but Googans are basically weekend warriors who are coming out fishing who really don't know what's going on. We were all Googans at one time.
You look down your noses at them. I mean,
it's
second-class citizens.
Well, they've earned the right.
Yeah, they have the right to be there, but it's
no, I mean, you've earned the right to look down your nose. Absolutely. You put in the time.
Yes, were you guys friends before the show?
Yes.
You were, okay. Were you competitive enemies before the show?
No.
What it comes down to is we're both out there fishing for a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So
Catch paychecks?
For guys like us, that's ultimately what these fish mean. Yes, it's a lot of fun. Yes, it's exciting. But again, for me, catching that fish is what puts my daughter through college.
Right.
Right? That's the bottom line. So, yeah, we can be friends, but, the bottom line is I want to catch one more than I want Dave to catch one.
Sure.
When it comes down to it, we're talking about real money, for us.
Of course, yeah.
So it's not about bragging rights.
When you see a big fish, you said you can watch them, right? You can see them.
You can see them sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Are there times when you both are trying to get the same one?
No, not really. The closest we'll be is, a half mile apart, a quarter mile apart. But, we don't see the fish all the time visually. We can see him under the boat on our fish
machine. But I'm saying there's a monster and one of you is trying to get it. Is the word pass around through whatever the lake?
Well,
the ocean?
Yeah, and see, now that's what it comes down to is there's times when it's beneficial to be working together with Dave and I. Hey, we saw fish in this area in general, so we could kind of team up and make sure we're both on fish. But when it comes down to it, if Dave hooks a fish before I do,
yeah,
you know, then you have to use that editing button again because, you know, it gets really loud.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Now, again, we're talking to the captains from the Wicked Tuna on the Nat Geo Channel, coming back for season two this Sunday night on the Nat Geo Channel. I'm sure people make the comparison all the time with the Deadliest Catch show, which has been on for a number of years. Your weather conditions don't get anywhere near as crazy as those guys put up with up in Alaska, though, right?
They're not as bad, but you got to remember one thing. They're in 100, 150-foot steel boats, very seaworthy vessels. We're right. in small mm-hmm. little Clorox bottles, as Dave says. Yeah, very small boats. Right. And, you know, we're fishing out in, you know, 30, 40 knot winds, you know, 10, 15 foot seas. So it's a similar comparison. You know, everything is relative.
It's still dangerous, yeah. And it must get super cold out there, too, right?
It can. You know, the summer months, it's hot, hazy, and humid. And, you know, as you move into the fall, it gets damp and downright cold.
Do you ever get desperate where you're thinking, I really need another fish to help put my daughter, like you said, put your daughter through school?
Oh, yeah.
And you go through dry spells and...
Sure.
It happens all the time. Especially
you go to his boat and try and steal one?
No. No.
Gunpoint?
You know, I don't sink that low, but, you know...
But you might.
We get desperate at times, at least for me, because, you know, for me, I have nothing else going on. The boat supports the family. It buys the groceries. It buys the kids' school clothes. It does everything. So right. There's definitely times when if I'm on a dry streak, you know, it's stress.
Of course.
It's a lot of stress.
How long
you know?
Can a dry streak last?
Go for weeks.
Yeah. Really?
Go for weeks. You can.
I've had one going for years.
No.
I'm talking about fishing.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Completely different.
We need to take a break. We're going to follow up on that question and ask more with the captains from Wicked Tuna. I've been informed, by the way, that I've misinformed the audience because it's not this Sunday. It's a week from Sunday. I apologize, gentlemen. January 13th. Not this weekend, but January 13th. You're back on the Not Geo channel. The show is called Wicked Tuna. More with the captains right after this on K-Rock.
There he is.
Hey, get ready. This may be it once I come around on him again.
It's right there.
Pull it around, Bobby J.
Go.
Ooh, how did that feel?
Yeah! Here's a round one. That is a round fish.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness! Holy Oh, man!
That's a lot of excitement over a fish.
That was a big-ass fish, though. I saw that. That was a big... I don't know what that fish weighed. How much can they weigh? Did you tell us that already, guys?
The world record is what? 1,496 pounds?
Oh, my gosh.
And we catch them up to 1,100 pounds, sometimes 1,200.
Wow.
A couple of captains from Wicked Tuna on the Nat Geo channel in studio with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Captain Dave Marciano, Captain Dave Cavara. I want to ask you, Captain Marciano, first, because you do this full-time and have been doing it your whole life. What draws a man to the sea to be a fisherman? Is this in the family business for you?
No, actually, it's not. It's funny. My father sells insurance. There's a lot of guys in the local fishing industry in Gloucester who, you know, fathers were fishermen and their grandfathers were fishermen. And
right.
All that's really good. But fishing for me is just something I took to when I was a kid. You know, I started like a lot of guys, right, with my rod and reel and bobbers and worms down the pond every day. And, you know, I just kept getting into it more and more. And
most of us that did that, though, we would sit there for an hour and the stupid little bobber wouldn't move. And then you go, that's it. I'm out.
Right.
I'm out.
You know, it's one of those things. I always liked it with when I was a kid. Maybe I had a knack for it. But, you know, and it just progressed for me, like, you know, as it did with life. And I wound up making a living doing it. And, you know, I feel I'm very fortunate. We're not rich, but, you know what I mean? We seem to get by in life. And,
this day and age,
if you enjoy your job and you can make a living and support your family, you
Score.
Know, life is good.
Now, are these tuna morally compromised or is that just a Boston accent thing? The Wicked Tuna.
that's just a Boston accent thing. You know, that whole Wicked, you know.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you don't have a Boston accent. You both live there, right?
I'm New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I've been up there 13 years now.
Oh, all right.
Captain Nicaragua, let me ask you this. Is it still a thrill for you to take the boat out for the day? Do you still get excited about it, look forward to it? Or is it just like so many people's jobs where it's just, oh, my God, I got to work today.
Absolutely
I just have to deal
not.
With it.
It's a true passion. Every day we go out and it's like, and you hook up and you catch that fish, it's just like it's your first one. And that's what's so great about it. You just want to come back for more and more and more. It never gets old.
Is there a, like they do with some other fishing, is there a competition, like a worldwide thing where you can go and compete to be the best at what you do?
No, it's just no, it's more
there will
yourself.
Be soon.
Yeah. I mean, there is tournaments that go on, you know, fishing tournaments, but that's kind of out of the realm of what we're doing with the show,
mm-hmm.
catching these fish strictly for sale.
Yeah,
you know, to sell them, and you know, but there is. I mean, everybody who knows anything about fishing, you have the Marlin tournaments and the
you know, and all that, and that's all good.
I just feel like extreme tuna has to be coming at some time. Everything has to be extreme.
I rented that
now.
This past weekend.
No, nope, well. Again, completely different.
Come on.
Actually, that does bring up my next question for you guys, and that is there any room for women on a boat? Is that something you guys look
for? Sure, there's one crew on the Bounty Hunter. Bill has his wife fishing with him, Donna. And she's been doing it for a long time, and they're a great
crew. But
she
never catches anything, right?
Oh, no. They do well.
What's wrong with you?
No, and my wife is
all she does is yell at him. He's doing it wrong, right?
She's a very good fisherwoman, no doubt about it.
But not too many. There aren't too many ladies who look at that and go, yes, that's for me, right? Because it's got to be tough on the skin.
It is. It's tough on the skin. So it's tough on the body.
Yeah, she's come out on occasion, and I think you'll probably see her in this season. She'll be on a couple episodes. She fished. We actually entered a bluefin tournament, which was a first for me. I never did any tournament fishing.
Right.
And it's definitely turns out interesting. I can't say how we did, but,
okay.
You know, my wife was on the boat, and that was really cool to have her. And she's been with me in the past on occasion. But, again, it's not something, you know, for a woman to do it full time. It's tough, you know.
Yeah,
especially
it is tough.
I got the slow old boat. We leave at 1 o'clock in the morning. So
here
Dave,
I come.
Dave can pass me in his rocket ship at sunrise. You know what I mean?
It's like, why don't you get a faster boat? What's wrong with you? This is your limit.
You're doing
money.
It wrong.
You know, Dave's got more money than God from his other job. You know what I mean? Being a pilot.
Sure.
So, you know, for me, it's just totally different. I had an old crappy boat, and then you move up and.
To
no,
a newer,
a
crappy
process.
Boat?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, we're not millionaires here. We're just, you know, chipping away at the stone, kind of, just like a lot of people.
Well, this is why we love the Nat Geo channel, though, is they take hardworking guys like you who do jobs that we can't imagine surviving for a day, and you guys have been doing it, in some cases, for decades, and it just makes it fascinating. It's so fun to kind of be on the boat and see what you guys see, and we're excited about this new season. We only have a minute left. Anything in particular coming up this season that you guys are excited about the world seeing on television?
We got last year for season one, we had 24 fish coming to all the boats combined. And for season two now, we have 55 fish coming to the boat. So it's
wow. Yeah. The fish have heard about the TV channel.
Right. Everybody wants to be a star.
And, you know, and I'll also mention, too, usually we all tweet live when the shows are airing,
right.
Which was really cool because I didn't know nothing about Twitter and
sure.
tweeting until this came around.
You
but
didn't even know what
have,
a computer was.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Dave, right? But, you know, that's a lot of fun when it airs live. If you find us, you know, the
cool.
Wicked Tuner on Twitter. And, you know, we seem to have a great question and answer thing going on with the fans while they're watching the show.
You guys are,
to me, that's been really cool.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I'm not going to follow you on Twitter, though.
To be honest.
Not
well, I'm just saying
awesome,
you're fishing.
Huh?
Season 2 premiere is Sunday night, January 13th on the Nat Geo channel. Captain Dave Marciano, thank you so much for the time. Captain Dave Carraro, we appreciate you stopping by, too. Good luck to both of you,
all
gentlemen.
Right.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday program. What's going on?
Well, it was the New Year. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but there was a New Year.
What?
Yeah. And everybody's talking about what the celebrities did to celebrate.
Was this in the news?
Yeah, it was. Leonardo DiCaprio, for example. He was in Sydney, Australia, on a yacht celebrating the chiming of 12 bells to celebrate 2013.
Probably 12 Victoria's Secret Angels, if we know Leo.
Wearing bells off their
hoo-haws. Yeah.
He was there in a yacht in Sydney Harbour in Australia, and he celebrates with a bunch of his celebrity pals, like, you know, Jamie Foxx, for example. Jonah Hill was there. Superstar Kevin Connolly.
What?
His new girlfriend, Margot Robbie. She's attractive, by the way.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio was there as well. And so they, around 1 o'clock, you know, they ran out of champagne or something, but Leo turns to everyone and says, why don't we hop on a private jet and go to Las Vegas?
Well, sure.
To continue the party. I guess they stopped serving alcohol at 1 in Australia.
Yeah.
But anyway, they did, and then they did some ringing in of the new year in Las Vegas, too. That's the way to celebrate.
Just following the time zones.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Did you see our friend Jimmy Kimmel in any of that coverage of New Year's holiday celebrity news?
I didn't, but I heard he was hanging out with the Clune Dog and, you know, his usual cronies.
Well, that he may have done that as well. The picture that I saw was him laying out on the beach with John Krasinski, his wife Emily Blunt, Jimmy's fiance Molly, Jennifer Aniston, and her fiance Justin Theroux. And I'm thinking, in what world is Jimmy Kimmel celebrating New Year's on a beach in the Caribbean or wherever it was with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah,
is that a thing that's happening?
In with that crowd was also Clooney and Keebler.
Oh, was Clooney there too? I didn't know they were there too.
Wow. This is just stunning.
That's the group I was referring to.
As much as we love Jimmy.
The usual crowd.
And
you know?
We do love Jimmy. He's still just Jimmy to us.
He's still just Jimmy, right.
Well, that's usually, he used to hang with them when we knew him here when he was doing sports for us.
Never.
It was Clooney.
Nope.
Cousin Sal.
It was really
Uncle Frank, Aniston. I remember they always have, they'd get together for football at his house, remember?
I don't remember
Corolla.
Aniston.
Let's see. The day worker as Waldo,
right? That's right. Yeah. The Ziggy guy. That
right,
guy.
That guy. The fox.
Right. And Brad Pitt.
That
right. That was the group.
Usual, right? That was the usual gang. They always used to get together. Yeah.
And I'm with Kevin though. He's also on the cover of the new Rolling Stone magazine, and he's still Jimmy Kimmel though, right?
Yes. The same old Jimmy. I called him up actually a couple weeks ago. I said, "Yo, Jims, I got." The new Joe Schmo show coming on Spike TV. It would be great if I could stop by your show and promote it because it comes on January the 8th and you're back on television that same week. Can I come on and promote Joe Schmo? And he said no. So he's the same. He's the same Jimmy he's always been.
Made the right call, though.
He's our buddy. He's our guy.
Still got the same discerning taste to cut us out of whatever he's got going
That's
on.
That's right. He's got the wherewithal to do that.
It's crazy.
Sofia Vergara did not have a good holiday, New Year's Eve. She was in Miami to celebrate 2013, but she was at a party at a nightclub in South Beach. It was hosted by one of her ex-boyfriends, Chris Paciello. And
what could go wrong there?
She brought her fiance, Nick Loeb, which I thought was odd, to bring your fiance to your ex-boyfriend's New Year's Eve party. But I don't know. I don't know how those showbiz types roll. I don't know how that all works out.
Jimmy does.
So maybe that's the hip thing to do. Apparently, Nick did not find himself very comfortable in that situation.
Really? Surprising.
That led to an argument between Sofia and Nick, according to people who were there. This is the New York Post reporting this story. Then an argument turned into a pushing and shoving match with Nick and some other patrons who were also at the nightclub at the table adjacent to theirs. And then Sofia injected herself into that argument to try to settle things down, I'm sure, and things got worse. And then apparently, according to, again, reports, her top of her dress was ripped off and her boobs were released.
That's a serious rack.
So not good for her, good for everyone else in that nightclub.
And her boobs got some air.
They got to breathe. Look, the boobs need to celebrate, too, once
That's
in a while.
Right. That's right. Gotta let them out.
Must get very hot and claustrophobic in there.
It absolutely must. She's already aired out her butt. Remember that at the Emmys or the SAG Awards or something or whatever?
Oh, that's right.
She tweeted that picture of her zipper having broken through the back of her dress. And you can see that sweet, sweet ass.
These big cans are one-third larger.
So, they're just like us, the stars. That's my point.
They are.
They're just like us. Beer Mug, I'm sure, was in Sydney, Australia on his yacht. Kevin, I'm sure you were looking at Sofia Vergara's boobs at a nightclub in Palm Beach.
Sure.
Wherever it was. Miami Beach.
I was there.
A bad start to the new year for Britney Spears. Looks like she's going to be fired from The X Factor. Us Weekly's reporting that the producers are pretty cheesed off of having to pay her $15 million to basically have her clap and say everyone was amazing. Every episode.
That's what she says.
Simon Cowell wanted the provocative Britney, ended up with the boring Britney. And the producers think 15 mil was
a little too much for that.
Ill spent for her performance on that show. She only had the 1 year contract. Reportedly, when that expired, she came back to them and said she wanted more money.
Wow.
To come back to the show.
I did say amazing a bunch of times.
I did a lot. So word is she will not be asked back. I don't know who's going to host that. Who's going to be the judge on that show? They lost everybody. L.A. Reid has stopped. No word on Demi Lovato yet.
Well, clearly, K-Fed.
Simon, I suppose, will stick around since he's the producer of the show. But who do you get?
The Voice seems to be the only one of those shows that's kind of going in the right direction, getting bigger every year.
Simon should go old school and bring back William Hung as one of the
judges. Oh, sweet.
Now, that's a show I would watch.
You wouldn't understand what he said, but that would be
you
great.
You must persevere when you sing your song.
take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. George Martin. You remember him as the producer of the Beatles. He is considered one of the greats, and you can see why. The work he did with that particular band, 87 years old. His son is also a big-time producer, isn't he, Bean?
Yes,
big
that's
music
correct.
Producer. Mm-hmm. Robert Loggia, talented actor from Scarface, probably best known for dancing on that keyboard in the F.A.O. Schwartz toy store in Big. Remember that scene, him and Tom Hanks playing chopsticks on that big keyboard? He is 83 years old today. Actor Dabney Coleman, very talented, very funny guy. He used to have a show called Buffalo Bill. It was a sitcom where he played a sportscaster.
Not interested.
Great, great TV show. Why aren't you interested? It's a great TV show.
Just, you know, who cares?
That Kevin. Who cares?
Why does Kevin hate
TV?
You miss me, Ralph.
81 years old today. Hall of Famer from the NHL, Bobby Hull, is 74 years old today. I miss hockey so much.
I do, too.
It's just, what's going on with that, by the way? I've stopped following.
They're still talking.
They're still pretending that there's going to be some games played this season.
Oh, we talked all night. We talked late into the night. Yeah, I guess it's all about their pensions.
At some point, do they replace the commissioner of the league that allows this to go on like this?
I sure hope so.
Well, look, a lot of sports have had stop downs and missed seasons and replacements and
stuff. But hockey just had one 8-9 years ago, didn't they?
I don't remember when the last one was. I remember it happening. Yeah. I don't remember when it was. Stephen Stills, the legendary band Crosby, Stills, and Nash, also the Buffalo Springfield. He is 68 years old today. John Paul Jones, bassist for Led Zeppelin, is 67. Mel Gibson, 57 years old today.
I don't care.
Oh, come on, Mel. It's your own birthday. How do you not care?
I don't like it.
All right. Easy.
I despise you.
Oh, come on. Just wishing you a happy birthday.
What? What?
I'm wishing you a happy birthday.
You offend me.
How can I offend you by wishing you a happy birthday, Mel?
You don't know how to do that, so give it up. Do what you're good at.
I said,
whatever that is.
I said happy
He wishes
birthday.
People birthday. I mean, that's what he does.
Every hour I do it, at the end of every report.
That is what he's good at.
Mel just seems testy today. What's up?
I'm like the modern-day Dickie Goodman.
Thank you for that reference, Bobby Slayton.
Mel Gibson's 57 years old today. Danica McKellar, you know her as Winnie from The Wonder Years, but she's now a very successful author and mathematician.
Aren't we all?
She is 38 years old today. Eli Manning, quarterback for the New York Football Giants, is 32. And Mark Pontius, drummer for Foster the People, 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. Woo! It's been a long week.
Exhausted. Huh?
Exhausted. Seems like this week's been going on forever.
Wait, hold on there. We have to come back tomorrow?
Yeah.
We were just here today.
I know, crazy, isn't it?
That's ridiculous. Cousin Sal will be here tomorrow with his NFL picks as the playoffs begin.
You guys are twins.
LaQuisha is back looking at a new show.
Maybe. Maybe she's back, maybe she's not.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who knew? I thought that was, I wrote that in my own writing, well, so I took.
Do you know her? Do you speak to her on a regular basis?
I don't,
I do.
Okay.
And she may or may not be.
Matt Money Smith will be here talking about the Lakers-Clippers game tomorrow night. We have the movie beat because it is Friday, and we have comedian Brad Williams in the studio tomorrow as well. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.